93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is Thursday. It's June 5th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, President Donald Trump called off a visit to the White House by the Philadelphia Eagles, citing the dispute over whether NFL players protesting racial injustice must stand during the playing of the national anthem. Trump said in a statement Monday that some members of the Super Bowl champion team disagree with the president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. He said the team wanted to send a smaller delegation Tuesday, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better. Instead, Trump said that he's going to be hosting a different type of ceremony featuring the U.S. Marine Band and the U.S. Army Chorus that will honor our great country, pay tribute to the heroes who fight to protect it, and loudly and proudly play the national anthem. However, it should be noted that none of the Eagles took a knee during the national anthem in 2017. One of the people set to attend the ceremony told the Associated Press fewer than half the players planned to go. Now, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney replied with his own statement, saying that he is equally proud of the Eagles' activism off the field and that players represent the diversity of our nation, a nation in which we are free to express our opinions. Last week, Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins said that he would not attend the ceremony because he didn't want to be part of a photo op and wanted to avoid being used as any kind of pawn. In addition to Jenkins, defensive end Chris Long was the most outspoken player against going. Quarterback Carson Wentz had planned to attend the event. Such a bummer that they're not going.
Yeah. What would you rather have, though, the Super Bowl victory or the visit to the White House?
Oh, I think because they were victorious, they should go. Yeah, it does go hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand, yeah.
Well, then maybe you can tie them together. Play the Super Bowl at the White House.
The South Lawn is pretty big.
It's pretty big.
Is it big?
Yeah. And then you can tie them together. I think they wait too long for this ceremony anyway, this going to meet the president thing. They got to...
Should happen shortly after.
Shortly after, right?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, I remember that in years past, and they're waiting months and months afterwards, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was going to happen.
Yeah, do it when the initial...
They should do it right after.
Brouhaha, as they say, Preston, is happening.
Police say a 15-year-old girl learning how to drive struck and killed two men in a parking lot in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, happened. She's 15. She shouldn't be driving.
She was learning how to drive
in a parking lot. Okay. Hey, dude, I've done it with all my kids.
Yeah, 15.
I've done it with my kids.
No. You don't get a permit until you're 16.
No, I know.
Oh.
This is illegal. I mean, that's a shame. But, wow.
So, wait. Okay, wait. Did that change? Because I had a permit at 15.
No, you can't take... Yeah, because you can't take your permit test until you're 16 years
old. He's correct.
But I'm saying, did that change? Or did I also drive illegally?
It used to be 15 and a half.
Oh, all right. Okay.
It's changed.
I remember my dad taking me out when I was around 15 in an empty parking lot, just starting to get me used to it.
Hey, I have illegally done it with my own kids.
Yeah.
Just ahead of time, I just want to show them how to park, how to use the brake and the gas, and I fully admit it. But you do have to make sure that it is a deserted parking lot that you're going to. I have no idea what the story was here.
So it happened last night, 8:45, in a parking lot on the 3600 block of Aramingo Ave. Police say the teen was driving with her mother and two others in the SUV when she hit the two men outside of the Dollar Tree. She was navigating into a parking spot and made a mistake. The vehicle lunged forward, striking the two men who were seated on a wall at the Dollar Store. Philadelphia Police Captain Mark Overwise said both men were in their 50s and were pronounced dead at the scene.
Oh, no, that's horrible.
Terrible.
That
right?
had to be
horrible for everybody.
Yes, some decent velocity when she lurched forward.
Sure. Maybe she hit the gas.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. You know, when you're learning. That was my very first accident. I hit the gas instead of the brake, and I was pulling out into out of a parking lot, you know, into traffic, and I went to hit the brake and didn't hit the gas. I was 16 years old and destroyed my dad's car.
Right. So though it's obviously, whatever the age was or the legality of it, where we went was an empty industrial park on like a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I've done it at a school parking lot on a weekend when absolutely no one has been
there.
And you have lots of room to maneuver and you go very, very slow and take it nice and easy. And, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe this girl is going to turn 16 in about 3 months. I mean, it's just a matter of
terrific.
Time. But you do have to take a written test to get your permit so you know how, you know, on a mental level, how to operate the vehicle, even though you haven't done it
yet,
and what the rules of the road are beforehand.
I can see that.
Yeah. But honestly, like, there's the mom or whoever, she's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, no charges have been filed at this time, but the crash remains under investigation.
That's terrible.
Full-scale sports betting is coming to Delaware barely 3 weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for states to implement wagering schemes. Governor John Carney plans to join other state officials this afternoon at Dover Downs for the launch of sports betting at Delaware's three casinos, which will offer single game and championship wagering on professional baseball, football, hockey, basketball, soccer, golf, and auto racing. Because of a failed sports lottery experiment in 1976, Delaware was partially exempt from the 1992 federal ban on sports gambling that was recently struck down by the Supreme Court. The exemption led to broader sports betting legislation passed in 2009, and Delaware's current NFL parlay wagering system, which combined to give the state a head start in offering full-scale sports wagering. Tuesday's launch means Delaware will be able to make legal wagers on the NBA Championship Series against Golden State and Cleveland, and the Stanley Cup hockey finals between Washington and Las Vegas.
So Casey and Preston, so you'll both, you know, the poker and everything and the gambling, go to casinos, have fun. Does this add another element? Will this be an explosion of additional betting?
Maybe. I wanted to make a bet on any of those games, I could find somebody. You know what I mean? Like,
More official, don't you just kind of like go to down the street and drop your money off? Whereas this, you have to drive to the casino.
Or you make a phone call or you send a text message. I don't know. I never really got into that.
But it might be the difference between, say, legalizing marijuana and so on. I mean, if you smoke marijuana, you know where to get some.
Exactly.
But it's going to be a hell of a lot easier for you to just go down the street and go into a store and do it legally and not have to make some calls and wait for somebody to get back to you. So me personally, I've never done sports betting, and I never really will.
Well, so the structure, but it adds an element. And again, I'm a neophyte when it comes to this stuff. But going to the casino, if you have the option, so you've played a game, you can go over and bet on a couple of pending games.
Well, here's the deal. And I think maybe this is the plus of it all, is that if you were to bet illegally, you're betting with money you don't necessarily have,
right?
If you have to go to, a casino, you actually have to hand them money.
You can't make a bet.
So if you're doing
it, you don't run the risk of anybody coming and breaking your legs. If you're going to a casino,
and this is really going to hurt the leg breaking industry.
That's right.
So hold on, I take back what I said. So you don't have to go down the street and drop your money off. You just need to make a phone call, and then if you lose, you got to pay up.
That's right. Rocky did that.
So that's why you hear sometimes these people getting into big time debt.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of dollars. They keep trying to win it back. And they're playing with money they don't have. And some bookies are a little lenient and they'll let it slide. And then others are not going to let it slide.
Anyone who has a first and last name and the middle name being the something, you don't want to get involved with that.
Seriously. Yeah. So while Delaware is the first state to take advantage of the Supreme Court decision, sports fans in three other states could be placing bets by football season. In New Jersey, the legislature is racing to push through laws governing sports books in the state. In Mississippi, state regulators have proposed rules to govern sports books that could be voted on as early as June 21st. That means casinos could start taking bets 30 days later in late July.
I remember, Kathy, when off-track betting became a thing years ago. I mean, the explosion. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And then the places kind of became these sort of seedy just hangouts, you know. But initially, people who weren't even that inclined to go do it were going to do it, you know?
And then in West Virginia, they also passed a law before the Supreme Court decision that legalized sports betting if authorized by a court. And apparently Pennsylvania is on the way as well. All right, in sports this morning.
Ballsacks are yummy.
The Phillies, who were off last night, will look to get back into the win column when they open up a series at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Zach Eflin will get the start for the Phillies, while Kyle Hendricks will pitch for Chicago. Game time is set for 8:05. In Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals, the Capitals took a commanding 3-1 lead in the series after a 6-2 win over the Vegas Golden Knights last night in Washington, D.C. After last night's rout, the Capitals are on the verge of capturing the first title in the franchise's 43rd season. Game 5 is on Thursday night in Las Vegas. The NBA Finals will continue tomorrow night as the series shifts back to Cleveland for Game 3. The Golden State Warriors lead that series 2-0. Dwight Clark, the receiver who made one of the most memorable plays in NFL history as part of the San Francisco 49ers dynasty in the 1980s, died yesterday at his home in Montana. He was best known for the play that simply became known as the catch, a leaping grab Clark made in the back of the end zone to beat the Cowboys in the 1981 NFC Championship game. Clark's wife, Kelly, shared the news on her of her husband's death via his Twitter account, writing, "I'm heartbroken to tell you that today I lost my best friend and husband. He passed peacefully, surrounded by many of the people he loved most. I am thankful for all of Dwight's friends, teammates, and 49ers fans who have sent their love during his battle with ALS. Clark, who had been battling ALS since he first began feeling weakness in his left hand in September of 2015, was only 61 years old. And even though they're not going to the White House, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yay!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks so much, Kathy. What a beautiful morning we have to start off your Tuesday. It's looking good now. We might get some rain later on today and clouds the rest of the week. So this is the day that you want to get outside and enjoy if you can. We have several things that are going on today. Number one, we are giving a tattoo to somebody. A listener named Tori is coming by. Or wait, is Tori the artist, Casey?
No, Tori is the person coming. The artist, we don't know who specifically, but they're going to be from Philadelphia.
So Tori is the recipient.
Yes. That is correct.
She's all the right. canvas.
Right. So she will get a tattoo courtesy of us and Philadelphia Eddies this morning, which is cool. And we're going to be in that tattoo somehow or another, which is wonderful. Thank you. We are going to talk to our very good friend, Mr. Tom Papa.
Love Tom Papa.
One of our favorites. He's great. So he is promoting his book called Your Dad Stole My Rake and Other Family Dilemmas. It's available today, and you've already got it. Steve, you ordered it.
Well, it's coming today.
Oh, it is coming today.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I thought was the book that I hadn't opened up was something else I totally forgot I had ordered from Amazon.
Hey!
Yes, it's gotten that bad. But the arrival date is for tonight by 8 o'clock, and okay. I accidentally ordered two, I found out.
Oh. Well,
yes, yeah, so I'll give you one.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So Tom Papa, and we'll get some delightful sourdough bread recipes from
him. Oh, my God.
So that's his passion now. And we have a meet and eat today, our friends from Big Apple Circus. Remember, we had Nick Willenda stop by.
Yes.
And the contortionist that was with him, who was unbelievable. They're going to be stopping by today, and that means that we will give away some family four packs to the circus, which is going on now through June 24th at the Philadelphia Mills Mall, previously the Franklin Mills Mall.
Yes.
So that, and listen to this. This is really cool. And you know what? Bear with me here. We will
take us back to the beginning, if you would.
We have a well. First, there was an explosion
and then matter was created,
and the earth cooled. No, we have a screening of the movie Gotti on Wednesday at the Prince Theater. But listen to this: after the movie, John Travolta and Kelly Preston will be there for a Q&A session.
Because Kelly Preston is, from Space Camp.
Well, of course, the great, and Jerry Maguire.
But he's playing Gotti, right?
He's playing Gotti, yeah. And they're gonna speak to the audience.
So this is really cool, number one. Number two, this movie was done, and I think the movie company was like, oh, okay, we'll release a blah, blah. And then people started to see it and were raving about Travolta's performance as Gotti.
Yeah.
So then they realized they had something on their hands here worth promoting, so that's why these two are out. Getting out and pushing the film, but it's supposed to be really good.
So the screening is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. You need to be there no later than 7:30 at the Prince Theater. Let's take callers 10, 11, and 12, and I will give you movie passes to this, and you'll get to see John Travolta and Kelly Preston. I've had a crush on Kelly Preston.
Oh, my God.
Since I was a kid.
What was that movie that they did where they replicated the American town in Russia?
It's called The Professionals.
You know what I'm talking about.
Not a great movie, but she is stunningly beautiful in that.
Oh, my God.
So 215-263-WMMR, call right now. We'll put you on that list, and we have 50 of those to give away.
Yes.
We'll do about roughly half of them today and the other half tomorrow. So hang in there. We'll have a chance to win those. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. The entertainment report is on the way. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Here is the gift for your dad for Father's Day. Gang, I speak from experience. I got this gift myself, and it is fantastic from Omaha Steaks. I'm a griller. Maybe he's a griller. You got to get him this. 78% off for this special Father's Day Omaha Steaks gift package. It includes, get this, 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 more grill-ready Omaha Steaks burgers for free with the purchase. Now, you get this all for $49.99, but here's what you have to do. You have to go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Father's Day package to your cart. Remember, it's a limited time and only $49.99, but you have to go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Father's Day package to your cart. Grab your dad and fire up the grill. Don't wait.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, give Dad some peace and quiet this Father's Day with a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley to choose from. Go to handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The gang at Germantown Academy, home of Bradley Cooper.
Yes. You know, actually this works because it's the entertainment news.
Yes, it does. You're right.
And it does fit in nicely.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So we had the student body vote who the coolest teacher of the past year has been. And we got the votes together. We tallied them up. And we are happy to say Germantown Academy's coolest teacher of the past year is...
Yes.
Mr. Bob Moyer. Mr. Moyer is a history teacher, and Marissa found out this little tad bit. Students dedicated the entire 2018 yearbook to Mr. Moyer.
What the?
Wow.
So what a year for him.
Amazing.
Yeah. Gets that honor, and then on top of it is voted for as the coolest teacher of the past year, and we are happy to set him up the prize. We have a Preston and Steve coolest teacher of the year coffee mug. We're going to give him a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card. They are the sponsor of the coolest teacher of the year, and we have $50 in cash from our friends at God Shawls Turkey Bacon, and we'll give him some turkey bacon to boot. So congratulations to Mr. Moyer. We'd love to hear from you this morning and find out what the story is. And, oh, and I want to mention this from Windsor's coolest teacher. Or it says, I'm flipping out over here. No, this was Dana Schaefer who checked in. Who was the school we had yesterday?
It was the old girls.
Hubert.
St. Hubert's. Yes. That was it. And we got this tweet. It says, I'm flipping out over here in Windsor. Never miss a podcast today. I got to hear you guys give my dad the coolest teacher mug. Way to go, Mr. Schaefer, and thanks, Preston C. That was from Dana Schaefer.
Ah.
So she thought that was a lot of fun. Let's draw another one. Ooh. Is it your turn, Kathy?
It's Nick's.
Nick's turn. I'm sorry.
Kathy pulled a good one.
Let's go all the way around to the other side of the room. Casey is the keeper of the jar of goodness, which has all of these school names in. He's walking over. Nick is reaching in all the way in to the deep bottoms.
I think Nick is going to rock it.
And he has now found a school. Nick, what's it going to be?
We're heading back to Jersey. It is Washington Township High School.
Yeah! Washington Township High School. Okay, hopefully you know the drill. If not, let me spell it out for you. You need to text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333 of whomever it is you thought did an amazing job this year or for some reason was just above and beyond. We want to find out and set them up with a little token of your appreciation. One vote per phone number. So Washington Township High School in New Jersey. Text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. We'll give you till tomorrow morning to do that.
Notable alumni include King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy.
I remember
that's King really Kong cool. Bundy. Yes, absolutely.
And Linda Fiorentino.
Really?
Yeah.
Go Geoducks.
Linda Fiorentino was in
Men in Black. And Dogma.
And what was the first movie, Steve, with the wrestling?
Vision Quest.
Vision Quest. Nice. Okay. All right. Well, good luck to you guys.
I'm crazy for you, Preston.
I know. I'm going to do a stupid question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Stills and Collins, Stephen Stills and Judy Collins, June 23rd at Tropicana Showroom in Atlantic City. And we're going to go with the rhinoceros.
Ooh.
It gets its name from the Greek words rhino and ceros. What do those two words mean?
What do rhino and ceros mean?
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR. The Greek words rhino and ceros, what do they mean? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Got to get right into this because I already spent enough time here. Birthdays today on Tuesday, June 5th include we have... couple of bass players. Pete Wentz of Fall Out Boy. Yep. Ex-husband of Ashley Simpson.
That's right.
Is 39 years old.
I saw a really funny picture of Pete Wentz. And it was a the story of the recant. I'm sorry, just knocked my headphones off my head. The story goes like this: Bruno Mars was walking down the street, and
right.
Bruno Mars
with a rabbi, a priest.
Bruno Mars was not Bruno Mars yet.
Okay.
So this photog, this a-hole, you know, paparazzi guy, basically shoves Bruno Mars out of the way, right? And he's like, "Get out of my way!" Right? And Bruno's like, "What?" Are you know. And next thing you know, the dude takes the picture of Pete Wentz. And what you see in the background is Bruno Mars, like, turn around, like, who is this a-hole? And that's the picture that you get.
Okay.
And I just saw that on Twitter not too long ago.
And Bruno Mars has this kind of like, what?
Yes.
Look on his face. All right, so Pete Wentz is 39. Aaron Peanut Wills from 311. He's the bassist. So
he's good.
Peanut celebrates his 44th birthday today. Then we have, sorry, Case, I'm going to go right through these. From Iron Maiden. Drummer Nico McBrain celebrates his 66. I always loved that name.
Nico McBrain.
Nico McBrain.
And a competent drummer, yeah.
Yeah. He's always been cool. So happy birthday to Nico. Maybe we'll hear some
Iron
Maiden today. Some Iron Maiden today with Pierre.
We'll God, oh out. My God. He looks like Ann Coulter.
Hey, it is it's Mark Wahlberg's birthday today. Mark is celebrating his 47th birthday.
Love him.
Whoever would have guessed that Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch would have gone on to be an A-list Hollywood star?
And let me tell you, his recent crop of movies have been, you know, there was the Transformers thing, but besides that, great, really great stuff.
I really liked Patriot's Day.
Wonderful.
It was really well done, and he was great in it.
Same director that did Deepwater Horizon, right? Mm-hmm. And also did the troops
thing
over in Afghanistan. I'm having a brain fart. The lone survivor.
Yeah. Okay.
So Mark Wahlberg is 47 today. Ron Livingston, Office Space, Sex in the City, Dinner for Schmucks is in that as well. Great movie. He's 51 today. Do we have a little bit of? Yeah,
of course.
Can you go ahead and do I hit this button?
Yeah.
Kenny G.
It's Kenny G's birthday today. Yes.
So what kind of sax does Kenny G play? Is that
a soprano sax.
Soprano sax, yeah.
The long, it doesn't have a bend in it.
And he plays it to the side, like the same way you drink water.
He's a little off to the side with it, exactly. He's actually, he catches a lot of crap for being, you know, smooth jazz and very adult contemporary, but he's a very, very talented musician and a great saxophone player.
And he
player.
Has, believe it or not, a hell of a Christmas album.
And you're right, he's Jewish.
He's Jewish, yeah.
And he's got a big crop of pubic hair
absolutely.
On top of his head.
Matty full of gunk.
But Kenny G is 62 today. And then the last birthday, Steve, it's Laurie Anderson's birthday. I know you know who she is.
Yes.
She's a performance artist.
Performance artist. Married to
Lou Reed.
Was married to Lou Reed.
Yeah. Very avant-garde performer. And way back in the early days of MTV, she even had a couple of bizarre videos
on there. Yeah.
She's 71 today. All right, we'll go to the phone, see if we can get an answer to this question. The rhinoceros gets the name from the Greek words rhino and seros. What do those two words mean? 215-263-WMMR. And we'll go to Ashley. Hi, Ashley. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Awesome, Ashley. We need to know what the words rhino and seros mean. Do you know?
Sure. So rhino means nose and
seros
means horn.
Yeah, that's right. Hey. Nose and horn. So that's exactly what that animal is named after, nose and horn. Hang on, Ashley. We're going to give you some tickets to go see Stills and Collins, June 23rd, Tropicana Showroom in Atlantic City. You can get details at tropicana.net. Let's start with this interesting little comment from Woody Allen. He addressed the ongoing sexual abuse allegations leveled against him by his adopted daughter, Dylan Farrow, who is now 32 years old. She accused him of sexually assaulting her when she was 7 years old, and the story has received renewed attention in the Me Too movement. Allen, who is 82, acknowledged that he is the, quote, poster boy for the Me Too movement. He told Argentinian news program I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
The Daily News.
The Daily News. He said, I'm a big advocate of the Me Too movement.
Of course he is.
I feel when they find people who harass innocent women and men, It's a good thing that they're exposing them. But, you know, he said, I should be the poster boy for the Me Too movement.
I should be the poster boy.
He said, I have worked in movies for 50 years. I've worked with hundreds of actresses and not a single one, big ones, famous ones, ones starting out, have ever suggested any kind of impropriety at all.
Now, if you're talking family members, that's a whole other story.
He said, I've always had a wonderful record with them. However, as Page Six points out, in 2015, Mariel Hemingway alleged that he attempted to seduce her when she turned 18 and he was 44. She made that claim in her memoir called Out Came the Sun. She was in Allen's movie Manhattan in 1979.
Where she played a 16-year-old that he was dating in his late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's okay. The whole plot of the movie is that he's dating a girl in high school.
Allen has long denied the allegations, which he said his ex, Mia Farrow, orchestrated to get him back for dating her adopted daughter, Soon-Yi Previn, who he later married.
So. I love so much of Woody Allen's work, but you can't argue with the fact that there's a lot of creepy stuff going on here.
Yeah. Roseanne star and executive producer Sarah Gilbert is speaking out for the first time since ABC decided to pull the plug on the successful revival. She said this was on
The Talk.
Yeah, the CBS show The Talk on Monday. I would like to say this has been a very difficult week. A lot of people have been hurt by this, and I will say I'm proud of the show we made. The show has always been about diversity, love, and inclusion, and it's sad to see it end this way. I'm sad for the people who lost their jobs in the process. However, I do stand behind the decision that ABC made, she said.
And yet she said she 100% agreed with Roseanne.
She didn't say that at all. ABC is reportedly in the process of attempting to resuscitate the show without Barr. That's the word, possibly with Gilbert's character as a central figure. I don't know if that's legit or not, but it's a rumor. So.
They are thinking of taking the same cast and putting them in a bar in Boston.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm listening.
There's a formula for success there.
It worked before.
Yeah.
Maybe like a dim-witted bartender.
Or same cast in a Korean hospital during the Korean War.
A mobile Korean hospital.
Mobile. Yeah, sure. I know. Like a MASH unit.
Yeah, sure.
Wait a minute. Is it going to have a cross-dresser?
Yes.
They should. Right. They should throw that in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dan. Yeah. John Goodman.
All right. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have managed to shatter a lot of stereotypes and royal rules with their love story, but clearly some old-fashioned notions are remaining firmly rooted in place, for now at least. The new titles Harry and Meghan received on their wedding day will only be passed to a future son, not daughters, meaning even if they have all girls, no dice on that. Queen Elizabeth granted them the titles the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. However, that rule may change thanks to the Succession to the Crown Act of 2013. Birth order determines who will become the next king or queen of the UK, regardless of gender. If that was not the case, Princess Charlotte, who is 3, would have lost her spot in line to the throne to baby bro Prince Louis, who was younger than her.
Yes.
Who was the one that was just born.
Wouldn't be fair.
The legislation was passed while Kate Middleton was pregnant with her and Prince William's first child, Prince George, who was 4.
Oh, man, Nick. Baby's Day Out, the sequel could be Queen King Baby.
The Crown.
Yeah.
Baby's Day Out.
Royal Baby's Day Out.
Meghan and Harry have said that they are feminists. It's even on Meghan's official royal biography page, so observers see them both vying for a change to the rules. Meanwhile, Harry announced Monday that the 2020 Invictus Games are going to be held in the Hague?
Yes.
In the Netherlands? The Invictus Games are a global sporting event for injured servicemen and women and veterans. He said via a statement, the city will soon become the motivation for hundreds of servicemen and women using the Invictus Games to inspire their recovery from physical and mental injuries. The Netherlands has supported the games from the very beginning, and I know that everyone there will fully get behind and support the soldiers and veterans who have served their country so bravely.
Did they make a movie about it with Matt Damon?
I don't know.
There
was a movie called Invictus, but that was about the rugby team in South Africa.
Okay, I never saw it, so I thought it was pertaining to this.
No, that was the first.
Oh, that's right, because Morgan Freeman plays Nelson Mandela. Okay, correct, yes, I stand corrected. Yeah.
So John Cena having second thoughts about fatherhood now. He and Nikki Bella broke off their engagement just weeks before their wedding over his stance on children, and now that they're back together, it seems the 41-year-old has decided he wants kids.
Love kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, of course.
It's so disingenuous.
Completely.
I swear, it's like Bill Murray at the end of Scrooge. You know? I love this. I love everybody.
He said, of course, I would love to be a dad. He was in Los Angeles on Sunday night talking to TMZ. He said, by the way, that's an about face for me. And I realize very much that I've been steadfast in saying that I don't want children, but I'm a little bit older now and wiser.
Yeah, he's older by like at least a month and a half.
Right.
This will not end well.
No.
No, it's just it's a recipe for disaster.
I don't know. If they love each other, it's a different story.
I love you.
And
I love you.
And I think that once you have kids, if it's not to,
I love you too.
Not to keep a relationship together, I think he'd come around if he had a baby.
Maybe.
You never know. Does. Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, you're I think, inserting yourself into this situation, and you're like, you were always a family man. You know what I mean?
I was kind of hesitant.
Were you?
Yeah.
You are going off half-seened.
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of, I mean, like, well, anyway. Who knows? It depends on if they really like each other or not.
I recommend you watch back-to-back episodes of the Bella's show on.
Really?
I watched two on Sunday, I think it was, or Saturday night. Uh-huh. Horrible.
How bad is it?
Well, it was right around this time, so they break up. It's amazing the camera access that they have to private conversations,
right?
Isn't almost it? As if it was staged, choreographed.
He continued by saying, at age 18, we say things different at age 25. At 35, I would love it only because I dedicated my life to work, and now I'm realizing that there is life and life exists.
I love you.
And it's beautiful.
So she has a twin sister. You know, they're the two Bellas.
Yeah.
So they're wrestling divas.
Yep.
They're super hot, but the whole line of divas are pretty amazing and amazing athletes.
He says, now I'm realizing that there's life and life exists and it's beautiful. And I think that part of that is being a parent. So we'll see. And while Bella's
a little baby
and while Bella's rep told E that
I hate the baby,
they are.
I'm sorry.
That they were working on the relationship and taking it day by day. Cena told TMZ of another walk down the aisle. He said, it's something that I would like if the situation is right. So, I don't know. I like him.
I do, too.
So, I don't know.
He's so big and so impossibly shaped that I think probably one of the funniest still pictures you could probably have is him taking a dump. Because that huge hulking body on a toilet.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I fear that, like, this about face that he's doing is because of the backlash of him not wanting to have kids. And guess what? If you don't want to have kids, that's fine. That doesn't make you a bad person.
No, and it's you may be right because it reads as very reactionary.
Yeah,
and he was being vilified.
Right.
But if it's the way he feels, it's better to not.
Would you rather?
It's better
somebody
to be honest with the woman who clearly wants kids.
Yes,
it's better to be honest and avert.
And
to Nick's point. No relationship's ever been saved by troubled relationship by having a kid, or if they have, they're statistically far fewer.
No, listen, if you're dead set against it,
yes,
and you love this person, and you're going to try and one of you is going to have your way,
yes,
you know what I mean, and then the other one is either not going to be happy about it, or
bear resentment,
or may they come around? I don't.
Come
I don't
on,
know.
Son, let's go out and play baseball.
Well, and listen, minds get changed. I've heard of women. Who were, I want babies, I want five babies, and they get married, and then their career takes off, and it's like, I'm not ready to put this on the back burner right now. This whole baby thing, it doesn't make sense for me right now.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Follow your heart.
Well, Sandra Bullock is opening up about her path to motherhood
in
a new interview.
She has a huge black child.
On Today with Hoda Kotb.
That's The Blind Side, I'm sorry.
No, that's, you're thinking. Michael Orr.
Michael Orr, yeah.
So the Ocean's 8 star adopted Layla, who is 5, and Lewis, who is 8, and revealed that Hurricane Katrina actually moved her down the road to adoption in 2010. She said, I did think, maybe not, but then Hurricane Katrina happened, and she said, I'm going to cry. And she was teary-eyed and so forth. She said, Katrina happened in New Orleans, and something told me my child is there. It was weird. The 53-year-old added, the beautiful thing was I was constantly told that the perfect child will find you. You will find your child. But you don't believe that when it's not happening. When you're going, where's my family? When it does happen, you know exactly what they're talking about. And she said that her son was the one who actually inspired her to adopt her daughter when he was 3 years old. So she loves being a mom. So good for her.
And I have to say, the coming attractions to the movie look pretty good. Look what better now. Ocean's 8, is that what
it is? Yeah. That's correct.
It's the all-girl, all-woman cast.
Yeah. I had ABC on for a hot minute last night, and it was, I guess The Bachelorette was on.
Love you.
And so they had four former bachelorettes on talking about this movie. One of them was, what was her name?
I don't know, but they had bachelorettes talking about Ocean's 8?
Yes.
All right.
Kind of like girls talking about Sex in the City. Like, oh, I'm Samantha. But they were trying to.
I'm Samantha. That's who I am. I'm Samantha.
Samantha.
All right. What was her name? She was really pretty.
Samantha.
She was gorgeous.
Yes.
The one with the laugh that Steve just played.
She was a Rams cheerleader.
No, she was a
Melissa Rycroft.
She was a Cowboys cheerleader.
No. I will bet you the $100 you already owe me.
Oh. I do owe you $100.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Is it Melissa Rycroft?
No.
Then that's the one I'm talking. The laugh is Melissa Rycroft.
Yeah, I'm talking about the girl who every single time she would see somebody, she'd be like, hey.
Yeah, I don't remember. And I don't care.
She married the fireman.
I'm moving on to Reese Witherspoon. She's.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
He was a poet.
Trista.
Trista, that's her name.
Trista. Yeah.
Trista?
I love you.
She went to my high school.
She did?
Yeah, she went to Parkway Central.
High school.
Parkway Central in St. Louis.
Go Geoducks.
The hell are we talking about?
It's the Colts. Anyway, can I move along to
the story? Yes, I like this. Absolutely incoherent.
Reese Witherspoon is near a deal with MGM on a third Legally Blonde movie. The first was an epic success. The sequel, not so much. The third, according to Deadline, will be much more in the spirit of the first film, focusing on female empowerment.
Uh-huh.
I did like that first movie.
I liked the first one. Second one stunk.
I don't even remember the second. Oh, she ran for Congress or something that, or Senate. She got involved in politics. Suri Cruise hit Du Jour magazine's annual Summer in the Hamptons kickoff party. At Gurney's Montauk Yacht Club.
Oh, Gurney's.
No, Gurney's. Yeah, Gurney's is where everyone makes faces as you order.
No, Gurney's.
It's actually a wonderful restaurant in Montauk.
And it's a hotel, too, and it's extremely expensive, and they're basically buying up all of Montauk. They bought the Montauk Yacht Club as well.
Now, is it all the staff that makes that face?
Or they take their teeth out? Would you like some peanut butter today? Hey, your salmon's very good today.
The girl from
all the food you don't have to chew is for people with no teeth.
The girl from the barbecue is the receptionist.
You want some squash?
Yeah. Yes, we had a girl at the MM barbecue.
She did. She took her teeth out.
She works the front desk.
Who did the gurning. And she works the front desk at Gurning's Montauk Yacht Club.
Gurney's.
it's a high-end. In fact, years ago, Kathy, there used to be a dumpy motel right next to it. So my friends and I would go stay at that dumpy motel
and
then walk over.
So Suri Cruise attended the with the kids. She's 12 years old, by the way, who have starred on MasterChef Junior and Harry Potter and The Cursed Child on Broadway. She was reportedly thrilled to meet cover star Dakota Fanning.
Have you watched that? Not to go off on a tangent. Have you watched that MasterChef Junior?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes.
It's annoying.
Those kids are astonishing.
They're very, very talented.
I don't believe it, though. That's the thing. These things that they're making are so intricate.
They're good.
Like Preston's son was starting to get into it. Imagine if you started as super young and just got involved.
Yeah.
I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah. To me, it's too amazing.
They could work at Gurney's.
Yeah. You just don't believe it.
I just don't believe it.
Cynic.
I want to. We watch it anyway.
Let's see. Are you ready to join Chris Hemsworth's cult?
Yes.
The 30. Yeah, immediately. Yeah,
whatever.
I know. He's such a stud. It's ridiculous. The 34-year-old Thor star showcases his shirtless torso in a brief new teaser for what's called Bad Times at the El Royale. Hemsworth posted the image on social Friday.
Yeah, I saw it.
Drew Goddard directs the actor as he plays a charismatic cult leader circa 1969.
Who's he based on?
It doesn't say. The movie synopsis.
Either of my picks.
The movie synopsis says, over the course of one fateful night, Everyone will have a last shot at redemption before everything goes to hell. The film drops on October 5th. So
it's unfair that this is also that, a man.
I know. He's perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
And right? He's a good dude,
and
too.
He's a nice guy.
Very funny.
Seems like, yeah. All right, and then let me see. Do I have one more thing here for you? The first trailer for the sexy psychological thriller Suspiria.
The sexy psychological thriller Suspiria?
Yeah, has landed.
It's a remake of Suspiria because there's a classic horror movie that Dario Argento directed.
That's exactly what it is. It's an homage to the 1977 Dario Argento movie of the same name.
It's a coven of witches, Preston, who run a girls' school.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. The story follows a young dancer, Dakota Johnson, who discovers a sinister element at her dance company. Tilda Swinton also stars. Amazon Studios said a darkness swirls at darkness. The center of a world-renowned dance company, one that will engulf the troupe's artistic director, an ambitious young dancer, and a grieving psychotherapist. Some will succumb to the nightmare.
Something strange happened last night. Tell me about it. Well, I was dancing in the studio. I heard the sound. Did it frighten you?
Others will finally wake up, it says, and that's coming out.
I bet it's a bunch of witches is what I bet.
All right, and then actually one other thing, because Nick had showed us this trailer. This looks pretty cool. Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, Elizabeth Debicki, and Cynthia Erivo.
You had me at Debicki.
I know. I've never heard of her either. Don't underestimate them. That's the message from the first trailer for Steve McQueen's Widows. The thriller from Regency Enterprises and 20th Century Fox is co-written and directed by the director of Gone Girls, Gilliam Flynn. The film follows four women with nothing in common except a debt left by their dead husband's crimes. Looks pretty interesting.
Huh.
That's coming out November 16th.
And I think Steve McQueen won for 12 Years a Slave.
Okay. Let's get to clips, if you will. So the sci-fi series Humans explores themes of artificial intelligence and robotics, focusing on the creation of human-like robots called synths. In this clip, Emily Barrington expresses her excitement for season 3. Here we go.
I'm just so glad we get to not only tell the next bit of the story, but that I will get to find out the next bit of the story. I mean, if we hadn't got a third series, I would have made them write it just for me to read, I think, because I'm dying to see what will happen to the world now that every synth is conscious. I mean, I hope they've got a huge budget because we're going to need a lot of synth supporting actors.
Shut the f*** up!
Humans Season 3 premieres tonight on AMC at 10 p.m.
Have you been happy with the first two seasons?
I love them.
Yeah.
You know, they're my favorite. Let's go to the next. In Action Point, the low-rent, out-of-control amusement park is in jeopardy when a corporate megapark opens nearby. Chris Pontius is part of the crew of Misfits, pulling out all the stops and stunts to save the park. Here, the Jackass alum talks to our red carpet correspondent, Trisha. His dream movie stunt, he talks about that to her. Here we go.
Probably Romancing the Stone. Yeah, because that had a bunch of rad stunts in it. Yeah. Yeah, definitely
dangerous
Romancing the Stone.
Yep.
He got to, like, go off a waterfall in like, a car.
Okay.
And that's been a fantasy of mine since I was a little kid. As long as I can remember fantasizing, you know, about stunts.
Action Point is in theaters now, and Trisha's full interviews are posted at PrestonSteve.com if you want to see them. And there you go.
Yes.
Your entertainment report this morning. Hey, we have somebody on the phone line, Casey. We had mentioned earlier that Germantown Academy has indeed chosen their coolest teacher of the year. It is Mr. Bob Moyer. He's on the phone line. Good morning, Mr. Moyer.
Good morning.
Congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, so do me a favor. We had mentioned, Marissa dug up this little bit of information, that the entire yearbook for 2018 was dedicated to you, correct?
That is correct.
And how did that come about?
I guess that the students vote on that. And,
yeah.
And so they chose that as for their yearbook.
So you dominated.
Yeah, so they do that every year?
You know what? I'm not sure if they actually give a teacher dedicated a yearbook every year or not.
Oh, okay.
Well, if they just started doing it out of the blue, that's even better because they said, well, this guy's so awesome.
Yeah.
We have to dedicate this book to him.
Thank you.
I thought maybe you might be, you know, like retiring or something like that.
Yes.
That's why they would do
going
something
into
like
space.
That. But you're, or going into space.
Yeah,
I can see that.
No, I'm staying on Earth. I'm staying at my job.
Hey, how long have you been teaching at Germantown Academy?
This is my 14th year.
14th year.
And how long have you been a teacher?
This is my, I think it's my 25th year.
Okay.
All right.
And you teach history, I read.
I do.
What have you guys been learning this year?
We've been learning a lot of European history, world history.
Yeah.
Those are the classes I teach.
Nice. Now, does a day go by when someone doesn't mention Bradley Cooper?
pretty much.
Okay, I would imagine. So you can weave him in and out of history, too, if you want.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what is it like this time of year? And how many days do you have left?
Well, classes are over. We're just in exams. So,
just in exams.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a little bit quieter, but also there's a low level of stress bubbling up.
Oh, really? Low level of stress? I was thinking like a low level of excitement just like brewing right underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's that last week is like you're ready to explode.
Yes.
I mean, you know what? I mean, I remember that. And that last day of school and being on the bus. Oh, my God. It's just amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
Yes, teachers feel that way, too.
That's what I was going to ask.
Same excitement.
I was going to ask. And then, I mean, do you guys, well, you probably can't say, but I mean, the second they walk out of the school, you guys got to break out the booze, I would imagine, and just head to the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
And
they can't drink.
I know
school.
They can.
Sure, they put a baseball bat through the handles of the door.
Right. Right.
What?
Do you do anything during the summertime, or do you just take it nice and easy?
I guess I take it nice and easy. I do a lot of reading.
Yeah.
And a lot of
reading
chores.
Yeah, what's with that?
Reading. School's over.
You going anywhere or doing anything special this summer, Mr. Moyer?
Actually, we are. My family and I are going to Europe on a family vacation.
That's good. That's awesome, man. Enjoy. How
you've got countries over there.
How old are your kids?
I have three kids. They are 15, 13, and 9.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's perfect age to take them over. Nice. Well, listen, as a thank you from the student body, we have the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug for you, which I think you're going to enjoy. You can either use it or display it or however you'd like to do that.
Great.
And we'll give you a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Take the family out. Go get some good stuff. Awesome. And we'll give you $50 in cash and some turkey bacon. I know you've always wanted that from Gottschall's
turkey,
bacon.
Of that's course. Right, who man. Does? And it's the currency of teachers.
but listen, thanks for helping mold young minds and apparently doing it in an impressive way. The kids love you. So congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. Can I just mention that my best friend, Bill Meekham, is a big fan, and he's the guy who did the Lego for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Bill's a great guy.
He's very talented.
He did the Lego studio for us.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, that's the type of friends I hang out with.
Nice, man. Lego guys.
All right, Mr. Moyer, have a good summer. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Bob Moyer, hang on the line. We're going to get your information. Make sure we set you up with your prizes. Next, school. That is up is Washington Township High School in Washington Township, New Jersey. And you need to text the teacher's name, or actually text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. We'll give it till tomorrow morning to do that. So teacher, followed by the teacher's name, 39333. And we'll find out tomorrow who you elect. Our buddy Tom Papa is going to be on the program this morning and more. Take a quick break and come right back. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Very good. Thank you, Nell. So coolest teacher of the year. We're looking for Washington Township High School, New Jersey. You guys get to tell us who that is, and we'll find out tomorrow morning. We're running out of time, man. This is it. This is like the week.
Well, you just heard.
Yeah, this week and next week, I think we ought to be done with high school.
Yeah. It's just amazing. So, as you pointed out earlier, such a glorious time.
It's the best.
Such a glorious, wonderful time. And on a morning like this, when you're going to school, you know it's just days away from ending.
Yeah.
You're towards the end of the, you're getting out of Shawshank and you're three quarters of the way through the tunnel.
Yesterday, I did this thing called the mystery reader. I went to an elementary school and read to kids. It was a thing that they do, and it was a lot of fun. But the kids were like, I asked, you guys ready for summer? Are you ready to get out of school? Like, yeah. We got 6 days left, and two of those are half days.
Yeah. Half days were actually I really loved half days because it was like you were getting all the fun of school
yep.
without the other stuff that you weren't
so
fond
of. The only time I actually didn't mind cleaning. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
you're cleaning the classroom yeah. and putting away the textbooks and all that. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
Cleaning out your locker.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son has a has field day next week, and then he's got also has a field trip in between now and then. So see, like, yeah, they are just.
It's like a day camp.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. So enjoy. Hey, I noticed something
what?
That I thought might be worth bringing up. Yeah.
Like a phoenix from the ashes, he returns to notice things for you. You know how difficult it is to notice things in your own life. That's why he's here. He's the noticer.
And I
on
have
the Preston and Steve Show.
I haven't done
Monday
the
through Friday.
All right.
From six.
I haven't done
from 6 a.m. to 11.
I haven't done the noticer this early in quite a while.
He hasn't done the noticer this early in quite a while.
But listen, I noticed that there was another video that was released from Pastor Jesse Duplantis.
Oh, our favorite, the Jet and Pastor.
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, he still wants his new private jet, but he wants to make it clear that he's not actually asking anybody for money.
Listen to these verbal gymnastics that he's doing here. You know, I think even he's surprised at how much this caught on because it just sort of swept across. It became a viral meme. And where these guys, it'd be easier to get away with this stuff maybe 10 years ago. You know, now it was just all over the place. It was on the national news. You know, he was asking for his $54 million jet.
Yeah.
And we played audio of him walking down the hallway of his establishment there, his church, for whatever he calls it, pointing to the different jets he's owned. he has had three before. He needs this fourth $54 million jet
uh-huh.
that carries a lot of fuel so he won't have to stop as he's spreading the word of the Lord.
That's it. So here's a couple of clips, and let's see what he has to say about not actually asking for money.
He didn't ask for money.
Here we go.
I'm not asking you to pay for my plane. The Lord said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. I don't dupe nobody. I've always been honest. 40 years
wow.
I've been preaching this gospel, and I've never had a scandal. And this is not a scandal. I'm not discouraged. I'm not depressed. In fact, I am excited.
Is he suggesting that that God has poor grammar as well? Play it back in the beginning.
Yeah, Case, go back to the beginning here. I don't got no stuff.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to pay for my plane. The Lord said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. I don't dupe nobody. I've always been honest.
Okay.
I don't dupe nobody.
Oh, he's saying I don't dupe nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I do dupe.
A double negative.
Yeah,
right?
I do dupe. There was the key, the code. You cracked it.
So he's. But honestly, as a pastor, he's like, I can't lie. So he's like, if I say I don't dupe nobody, I'm like.
He's telling everybody.
He's floating it in the way we did during that April Fool's thing, Preston. You'd keep saying this is not real. This is not real.
Yeah, this is not happening.
I'm not asking you to pay for this. I am. And I want you to know
yes, I am.
That I'm not expecting you as parishioners to provide me with money. I am.
So, hey, I want to hear the rest
yeah.
of
this. I've been preaching this gospel, and I've never had a scandal. And this is not a scandal. I'm not discouraged. I'm not this press. In fact, I am excited. I've never had this much press in my life. God. Well, that's negative. It don't make no difference.
And it's negative. It don't make no difference.
Don't make no difference.
So he's asking.
I am excited about all this negative press painting me as a money-sucking prick.
Yeah. So he said, I asked you to believe for it.
Believe for
not
it.
Not to pay for
now,
it.
Now, if you happen, your method of believing involves your checkbook, I'm absolutely happy with that.
Well, he's believing for it.
I believe for it, and I believe you're stupid enough to do it.
No, he's asking you to believe for it.
No,
I don't care how it works out. I just want to get me a goddamn jet.
I'm not going to argue over this. I thought he said God asked him to believe
for
it.
Well, there may be another clue.
Okay.
All right. See, you've fallen into my trap, haven't you?
Go back to the beginning here.
I'm not asking you to pay for my plane. The Lord said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. I don't dupe nobody.
All right, so he's saying the Lord asked you, I asked you to believe for it.
I don't dupe nobody.
Yeah. And by the way, Steve, I loved the last time we were talking about this, how you were saying that he didn't want to be around average people.
Yeah.
And that's why he needs his
You ever get
plane.
On a flight with the average person who's traveling commercial yeah. flights these days? They're just horrible, disgusting
people.
I don't have time for the riffraff and the disgusting creatures that crawl upon on commercial jets. You get there, it's the babies that are kicking the back of the chairs. These people are human filth. I need to get out to spread the word of the Lord. And I cannot be distracted by the horrible vermin that take place. Get on these planes.
All right, here's another.
It's much better when it's empty and it's my own plane with my own luxury items.
This is another clip asking for...
And Wi-Fi!
The specific jet. Here we go.
It was one of the greatest statements the Lord ever told me. He said, Jesse, you want to come up where I'm at? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I want you to believe me for a Falcon 7X. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm. So he said, okay. Falcon 7X, of course, you got those three-engine system, which is great, and the new telemetry devices on board to make it awesome. He said, there's another way to get up to me. Put a gun in your mouth. Pull the trigger. You'll come right up, or maybe not. You might hang a 180, much to your chagrin.
He had said, I never raised money for the plane. I put it in our magazine and said, believe God with me. He said, there's a vast difference between believe in God and asking for money.
He's a Journey song, Preston. Don't stop believing.
Yeah. In the earlier video...
I'm just a small town preacher living in a lonely world.
He could turn it around.
Yeah, could turn it around.
Yeah, he used to take the train everywhere.
Yeah, but I took a 54 million jet going anywhere. And I didn't have to stop for fuel because the payload is extraordinarily light on this particular aircraft.
So in the earlier video, Duplantis had said the planes get him closer to the Lord, both literally and figuratively. And he had a divine conversation, which Jesus asked for the new aircraft by name. He said it was one of the greatest statements the Lord ever told me. He said, Jesse, do you want to come up here where I'm at?
So is God sitting there with Jesus? Is it like Brando and Sonny?
I don't know.
Don't ever let anyone outside the church know how you feel.
Come up here where I'm at. So he's saying the higher up in actual elevation you go.
You can hear God speak louder.
The closer to God you are. Duplantis' ministry.
You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need.
The ministry reaches more than, listen to this, 2 billion people worldwide, he claims.
2 billion is his claims. What is his estimated worth? Has anyone ever ascertained that? Because I know those facts weren't available last go round.
I don't know. He could probably afford this himself.
I can afford this myself. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've been sucking the cash out of you dummies for quite a while now.
Estimated worth at $50 million.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you can see why I can't wipe out my entire life savings to buy this vehicle of the Lord. And then I have to pay for a pilot, and then there's a crew and the whole thing. But I got my own fuel farm.
That's right. He does have a fuel farm.
I have a fuel farm.
He said the private jets are needed to help him do the Lord's work around the globe. So why the change of explanation on who should pay for the jet? Duplantis said that the uproar had something to do with it and suggested that the media was embellishing his story.
How am I going to raise money for the poor if I can't get $54 million to buy a jet?
He also said lots of his followers were still interested in making a donation for the plane. He said a lot of people have called me and said, I want to get involved in that new plane.
Want to get involved in that there new plane.
And he said, that's fine with him, but just remember, he didn't ask them for
it. All right, I'll let you buy it, but you know.
You're just supposed to believe.
You put that phone down. You're calling that dumbass preacher, aren't you?
All right, so we'll see if there's any other follow-up to that, and if he indeed gets the jet or not.
I wonder if the focus now has been placed so much on him that they're going to start maybe cracking open the books a little bit, maybe a few investigations into his deal. Listen, there's nothing to say that he's not on the up and up all around, but this is
there's
obviously...
There's nothing to say that? There's quite a bit to say that,
actually. If he's simply asking for people who are susceptible to this, I'm saying, Nick, have you heard anything that suggests that there's an impropriety in his bookkeeping?
Oh, no, I just think he's a huckster and a
phony. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's obvious. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah, so maybe as far as legality is concerned, there's nothing.
No.
But...
No.
Morally,
yeah, of course,
you know, all of that stuff.
He's absolutely depraved.
So, you know, maybe people want to believe.
Don't stop believing.
No, believe. What does he say? I'm sorry. I gotta hear his language again.
I'm not asking you to pay for my plane. The Lord said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it.
Okay. Maybe people can believe for Anonymous to take a look at, you know, Anonymous, that computer hacker group or whatever.
Yeah. I do not.
Maybe they take over.
All right.
By the way, somebody texts in and says, Jackass Jesse D comes to Pennsville, New Jersey a few times a year.
Does he?
Yeah. So I guess he makes his way out here.
You have to go. Yeah. Get him on the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. I noticed something else.
Ooh.
Yep.
More for the noticer.
Yep.
He can't fight the feeling.
There is a new term if you avoid... Did you just cite REO Speedway?
Yeah, yeah. Since we're back at Journey, he just keeps on rolling.
It's another REO Speedwagon song.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to keep on loving you.
All right. So if you avoid specific food groups, you might be, and this is a new term from what I understand, a nutrichondriac.
A nutrichondriac.
Yes. Wellness company DNA Fit polled British adults and found nearly half self-diagnosed themselves with a food intolerance despite just 15% having an allergy test or having their condition confirmed by a doctor.
This actually is quite common with people who avoid gluten.
That's one of the main things, Steve. So nutritionists say nutrichondria is a term they came up with to describe a preoccupation with how diet can affect you negatively based on incorrect or flawed scientific evidence, and they say it's becoming more common. Gluten and dairy are the groups most nutrichondriacs avoid. Nutritionist Rhiannon Lambert said that the problem is that there are now so many unqualified people on social media giving out anecdotal advice.
I find social media to be incredibly accurate.
They said, if you think you are intolerant to something, you may want to think about seeing a registered nutritionist or a dietitian. Self-diagnosis may lead to certain nutritional deficiencies.
Yes.
Particularly if you're cutting out entire food groups.
But I would argue that if you eat something and it doesn't make you feel good, then you shouldn't be eating it, whether a nutritionist tells you or not.
Well, if it's one specific thing, it may not be gluten. It may not be all the bread and everything that fall under that. It might be one specific
sub aspect of that. You're exactly. Remember how elaborate? Of course you remember. You went through it all. That whole thing where they're trying to determine your what foods you were, I guess, well, nightshades and all that stuff.
That's why
that was a lot of specific testing.
And that's why, but that's why I say that, because I went to a traditional nutritionist and doctor. Well, no, and I went to an allergist, and they basically were like, no, it's not a food allergy. However, every time I ate was when I didn't feel good. So, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I did sort of have to go the witch doctor way to figure it out. And there are still, like, you know, some of those foods like eggplant and peppers and things like that, that if I eat it immediately, right, I can feel it. Now, I don't think I have an allergy where I, you know, my throat's going to close and all that kind of stuff, but I definitely, no. And you know what? Can I just clarify? Because somebody said something to my brother. They were like, every time your sister talks about that, Steve plays the fart sound effect. Is that what happens to her? No, that is not what happens to
me. No, not at all. She's never, in fact, I don't think you've actually ever, as a human being, farted.
well, no, of course not. Most women don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, no, that is not what happens to me. But anyway, so yeah, I had to go the whole, you know, non-conventional way of figuring out.
You're good now?
What it was that didn't. Yes, but if I eat it, we had somebody in a couple of weeks ago, and Marissa was eating something, and I said, oh my God, if she's eating it, it means it's not chicken. And it wasn't, it was eggplant. And I had had a bite of it.
No.
And I was like, you know what? And I wasn't sure when I bit into it. So I ended up throwing it away, but just one bite affected me for the rest of the day.
What? Just one bite. And you felt
nauseous?
Nauseated?
The only way I can explain it that you would understand is that it strips me of every bit of energy that I have.
Huh.
Or like
I must be eating that all the time.
I have to go home. I feel like I have to go home and lay down.
Okay.
So
you did an elimination diet.
Yeah.
You did an elimination diet and eventually, and those are up. Pain in the ass. Oh, my God. I had to do that one time.
What happens during that? They basically have you eat one thing.
Well, you
very little.
Yeah, you right. Eliminate a certain group.
Here's a cardboard sandwich.
From what you're eating. I had to do the same thing as I had this mouth issue, which is called lichen planus. And they had to do this elimination diet.
Made a mess in my mouth.
So, like, acidic things I had to remove from my diet.
How long? A process.
Like a month or something like that. And it's a pain in the ass. And so you eventually narrowed down what your issue was, right? And is that how you did it?
Yeah, that's exactly how I did it. Because you add it, you kind of cleanse your system, and then you add it back in, and you start to see what makes you feel crappy.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard.
But I think this, Kathy, this thing, nutrichondriac, is more along the lines of, you know, I don't feel so good. Maybe I should just cut all the gluten out of my diet.
It's people overreacting. You know what I mean? Yeah. And in fact, And gluten's one of the main ones, and people take advantage of a gluten-free diet. And I, you know, I don't know. I maybe this is hearsay. I won't, you know, it may not be admissible in a court of law. But I think for some people, removing that can be detrimental to their health.
It may not be good. I don't know. There are some people who have really bad reactions to
yes.
that stuff.
Yes, yeah, but know, wheat and, other people who don't need yeah. to extract it at all. Like, would MSG fall into this?
Oh, I have no idea.
No, I don't think so, because I think most places are taking that out.
So well, anyhow, the bottom line is you if you have, you should see a doctor before you eliminate something big.
Or guess.
An entire yeah. group. No. from your diet. And follow through. And if you don't get anywhere with that doctor, move on to another doctor and try them, and you might find the right person.
All right. So is it MSG? Because I fall into this more times than not. When I eat out, I have to, like, poop immediately. Immediately.
That's just the excitement over a cookie sundae,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Is that MSG? I have no idea. It's not. They don't go.
It's not on everything.
They don't go throwing MSG on everything.
Yeah. I don't think they have it on there.
We have some at home. It's a flavor enhancer. It's not necessarily just for to make you feel full or anything along those lines. Okay. I'm not really sure, dude. I don't know. Have you talked to Dr. Mike about it?
No. Okay. But it's like not fast food stuff. It's like sit down restaurant stuff.
And that's when you got to poop.
That's when I got poop.
Okay.
Sorry, I have to poop right now.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that might be. Kathy might be right. Maybe it's the excitement of a.
Yeah. You're just excited. I'm so excited. I have to poop. I'm so excited. Dessert's coming.
All right, let me see what else I noticed.
Mark from the Noticer. As the stories just keep on coming, he can't stop noticing.
Should we stay on food, or
the Noticer's asked us a question. What will our response be?
Or should we go to the vagina?
Go to the vagina.
Okay, so the announcer wants vagina.
Right.
Hot weather finally here means that it's time to prepare some essentials for your summer, like your car, your wardrobe, or according to Teen Vogue, your vagina.
And
so how do you summarize your vagina?
Teen Vogue, no.
Wow. Oh, no?
Did you hear that? Quiet and subtle.
That was great.
Shave it.
Spoke volumes.
Hard one. And then polish the one. Murphy's Irish.
Teen Vogue has been widely criticized for its article about how to keep your vagina healthy all summer. The article.
Vagina ups?
Which uses phrases like vaginal panic attack, provides what some are calling questionable tips from OBGYNs for optimal vaginal health in any summer scenario, such as wearing wet bathing suits, camping, sunburn, sand, sex, workouts, and travel. So the article promised keep your vag healthy even at the beach. While you might think there's little difference in the TLC she gets during the other seasons.
I'm so lost.
OBGYNs note that in the summer, it's especially important to pay attention to any symptoms, changes, and funkiness you notice south of the border.
Funkiness.
Dear God, what is that smell?
The unique elements of summer.
Oh, my God!
It says water, sunshine, sand, sweat can be tricky to navigate. Now, here's where it comes in. The best response from this came from a Canadian OBGYN named Dr. Jennifer Gunter, who's known for debunking medical stories on the internet. Her gripe isn't just with the title and the concept of a summer vagina, but that most of the article is spectacularly wrong. She took particular issue with the issues were with that the heat of the summer can make your vag drier. She says, no, it can't.
Summer vagina had me a blast.
She said that sitting in a wet bathing suit can upset the pH balance of the vagina. Again, no, she says. And to consider bringing vaginal hygiene wipes in your backpack while hiking or camping, she said, do not clean the inside with a wipe. This is quite literally one of the worst things that you can do. And she writes this in all caps.
Wait, says, you don't need douche because the vagina is a self-cleaning oven.
That's exactly what she's saying. Yeah. Teen Vogue, it says you are not helping anyone here. This also promotes the idea that as a vagina needs cleaning, it does not, she says. This kind of
vagina is cold.
She said this kind of misinformation, especially targeting at young girls, is painful. This is the kind of damaging information that leads women to think that their normal discharge is excessive. This is the kind of information I undo every day in the clinic.
So there are serious repercussions from getting too
clean.
Let the body do what the body's going to do is what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
Right. But I also don't think that, I mean, maybe they are, but that you're shoving those sanitary things
right
in those areas.
It's sort of for just around.
Are you hammering them in?
Well, they may, maybe the article indicates that you should do that. I don't know.
Preston, what, go ahead.
No, and what, so what did she say about the wet bathing suit, though? I mean, because that forever has been, it's not a good, it's supposedly not a good thing to be
right.
sitting in a wet bathing suit all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, but they it implies that the article is saying that you can dry out, so sitting in a wet bathing suit is not so bad. And this,
okay.
this OBGYN is saying, no, that's stupid. It upsets the pH balance and can mess things up.
I hate to jump in and perhaps redirect the noticer, but I sent over an article about the unhealthy aspects of swimming in the ocean. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'll resend it. But there's some issues as to whether or not you're, you know, there are things you're not considering when you go swimming in the ocean as far as invasive things in your body.
So the OBGYN continued by saying a gynecologist promoting wipes reinforces the destructive and false idea that the vulva and vagina are dirty.
When will this stop?
When will it end?
It's actually a crime.
Yep. Excuse me.
I'm Sylvester Stallone. And do you know that your vagina is a self-cleaning oven? This summer, as you take to the beach, remember, do not bring the wipes. Let the vagina do what the vagina do.
Lights,
thank
please.
You. Thank you. Vagina self-cleaning oven. Like a Kenmore or a hotspot too. Vagina.
This has been Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
The more you know.
All right.
For no apparent reason whatsoever.
It does not matter.
No, it doesn't.
It had impact to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, it's yeah.
Who would you listen to about a vagina?
I'm glad they hired
Sylvester
him.
Stallone.
Yeah. Of course you would. Yeah. All right, one more thing.
More from the noticer.
Yeah. All right, what do you want to hear about?
Well, we just did vaginas. What was the thing you were talking about?
Oh, food was the other thing.
Food.
All right, how about this? Acme Oyster House's World Championship Oyster Eating Contest took place at Wuhlenberg Park at Oyster Fest yesterday in New Orleans. Competitors had 8 minutes to eat as many oysters as they could.
Oh, no.
There's a new champion you will not believe.
All right, so let's put this in perspective. You like oysters, yes?
I do.
So how many, what's the most oysters you've ever eaten in one sitting?
Oh, 10 at most.
Okay, 10. So there was at the Bottoms Up event, which was a the prostate charity event at the Desmond Hotel, great charity. They were all about the oysters this time around, and there were people putting away about, people were eating a lot of them, were like between 10 and 20.
Sure, yeah. That's all I need. Yeah. They're always just an appetizer for me. It's not a whole meal, so I wouldn't want that many. But the champion, the new champion is Darren Breeden. He's from Virginia. This was his first time competing in the championship. He ate 40 dozen oysters, which is 480 oysters.
How does that not make you sick?
In 8 minutes.
180 oysters in 8 minutes.
How do you not go and vomit that up immediately?
And by the way, you're not, I assume at that level, you're just slurping.
That's right. Exactly
that's
what
all
he
you're
said.
Doing. Yeah.
He said, I didn't really have a technique. I just slurped and slurped, rinse and repeat. And it's not like they have like a big bowl of oysters. They're each is on the half shell. And you got to get them in there.
So when I went there, there was a guy who is a really big expert on this. And I tried one. He convinced me to try one. It was with Dr. Mike, who actually likes oysters a lot. It was not horrific, but the consistency is the issue for me. It's sea snot.
A lot of people don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've come around. It took a long time, but now I do appreciate them.
Yeah, I like them. I don't love them. They're not my go-to, but I'll have them occasionally. But he had 480 in 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's an oyster every second.
Yeah. Yeah, so
he's got to be going.
He had to found a way to do a couple in a second, I guess, and have some pauses here and there. But, yeah, he was just ripping right through them.
How much did the runner-up? We're seeing a woman here.
So she, let's see, Darren beat third-place winner Louisiana's own Adrian the Rabbit Morgan, who was the 2016 champ, and second place was last year's champion, and that's Michelle Lesko from Arizona. So she ate 27 dozen oysters this year.
Oh, wow. So he crushed her.
By about 12, or no, I'm sorry, 27 dozen. I'm sorry, he did 40 dozen. Yeah, he absolutely ran away with
by
it
13
all.
13 dozen.
That's insane. So there's a new champion in town.
And there's a new oyster eater in town.
And now this guy, I think, is going to go to
Sylvester Stallone. Oysters are a wonderful summer treat, but you should be aware there are concerns associated with them. Concerning your vagina!
And now I think the guy's going to do the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Which...
in some, this is a that's a particular food that's designed to just slurp, where you yeah. can't slurp a hot dog.
Nope.
Yep. Well, oh, dude,
completely different technique. What?
Those hot dog eating contests, though. I mean, it's they dip the bread in water and just suck that.
Do
down.
They?
Yeah, yep,
that's what they do.
Yeah.
They take because they're allowed water, and the people that found the winning technique is to dunk the bun in the water. It takes away all that dryness of it, and you can just swallow it down.
You're eating hot dog
take,
mush.
And then take the hot dog, and it's pretty nasty. What are these people's bowel movements like?
I mean,
they just got to be painful.
My guess is at the end of it, the winner crafts a plow horse.
Yeah, and I mean, especially like the hot dog, they're taking like two bites and swallowing it.
I mean, that cannot be good.
It's going down mainly whole, and how that goes through your digestive tract after that. I don't know. All right, so these are the things that the noticer has noticed
so many things.
I'm done noticing.
He's done noticing.
We'll notice another day.
He'll return again to notice more.
That is correct. Let's take a break, but not before I give away some more of these. We'll take five callers who can go see a movie tomorrow night. Okay, so this movie is Gotti, and it will be at the Prince Theater at 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30. Bonus... the stars, John Travolta and Kelly Preston, will be there. Is she in the movie? Or
I think she's one
along?
Of the producers. I'm not specifically sure, though. He himself, though, yeah. is playing John Gotti.
Victoria's his wife?
Yes, Victoria Gotti. Is Kelly Preston playing? Victoria's his daughter.
I thought she was playing his wife in the movie.
She's in it. Yeah, she plays Victoria Gotti.
Victoria, okay.
Well, I don't know.
All right, so they're going to be there for a Q&A after the screening.
And the word is, it's really... hardcore. It's a solid performance.
The movie comes out on the 15th, so we got this screening tomorrow night with the stars of the film, and we'll take five callers at 215-263-WMMR, and we shall put you on the list. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. I have some home run bizarre file stories.
Yeah. Really?
Especially the first three. It's just like boom, 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 right out of the gate. You don't want to miss these. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR announces the next installment of our series of fan-friendly, private, and free concerts. Wednesday, June 6th, it's Pierre Presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. I'm gonna leave it all out there. Join us for this invitation-only noontime event at Ardmore Music Hall. Give me a drink. Win your way in on the air with Pierre or at Ticket Raids. Get details and schedule at WMMR.com. Pierre Presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats from Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, real quick, Kathy showed me this story. I know we're going to get into the bizarre file. I'll also do a couple of real quick shout outs, but this is a neat thing to do. Of course, you remember Officer Brad Fox. We've been a part of charity fundraisers over the years.
Yes.
He was killed in the line of duty in 2012. But this is a really neat little tribute. They had the official opening of this on June 2nd. Legos, they're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the police minifigure.
Yes.
With Legos. So Legoland over there at the Plymouth Meeting Mall. Built in his honor a special Brad Fox Lego.
That is awesome.
Which is really cool. Created by the master model builder, Mike Nieves, I guess is how you pronounce his last name.
Is that the guy we had in here?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Because the guy that we had in was with the Franklin Institute.
Yeah.
They did a big Lego display there. But anyway, so they have a Brad Fox minifigure. Which is really, really cool. And the event weekends are, they had one last weekend, then it's every weekend in June because it's the 9th through the 10th, 16th through the 17th, and the 23rd and the 24th. So I thought that was a cool little thing to point out. So thanks for bringing that story up to me, Kathy. I appreciate it. Can I do a couple of real quick shout-outs?
Yes.
Yeah. This shout-out, and I'm sorry I've fallen behind on these, gang. I apologize, and if I didn't get to yours, I'm sorry about that.
It's those jazz tab classes you're taking. They're eating up all your time.
It's between them and the kids.
How do you girls do it?
This one, I'm going to leave this guy's name off because he's bitching about work. He says, He said, I want to give you guys a shout out. I started a new job about 8 months ago, and the team has been terrible. The actual work is interesting, but the people I work with suck. And then he goes on to tell me what they suck, but I can't say that here. Listening to you guys on my break.
First, I have a morning show that's always making fun of me.
He said, listening to you guys on my break has gotten me through the past 8 months, so thank you so much. I'm hoping to change jobs soon, but don't worry. I'll still need your laughs every day. Thank you for being hilarious. And he signed it, and I'm not going to say his name.
No, just for the, just on the off chance.
Yeah.
But can you? How about initials?
His name is Mike. I'll just give you that.
Okay, there's and what's his last name?
There's a gazillion Mikes out there. So Mike, the shirt is, well,
all right.
For us, from you. So, but I feel bad for you, buddy. Speaking of feeling bad, this is a sad one. It says, hey, guys, listening every morning at work, I've recently found out that one of my fraternity brothers passed away. He was in the Army, served the country with amazing pride. A shard out would mean everything, not only to the whole fraternity, but his family. And I hope this can happen. You guys rock. Thank you, Steve M. It doesn't say who it was, though. So, Steve, here's a shard out, and hopefully...
Do you want to rock a bigger one for this, case?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go like this. You ready? Here we go.
Yep.
Yeah!
Then here's the last one. This is from Tanya Cooper. Says, hey, many times I've enjoyed listening to your travel segments, especially ones regarding long road trips, as it has been a dream of mine to drive from coast to coast since I was 19. Well, now as I turn 30, it is finally happening. I also get to share this journey to 30, as I've called it, with my husband and close friends along the road. And I will begin with a flight to Jacksonville, where we will rent a car and make our two-week journey across I-10 to California.
Wow.
Stopping at all the major cities and state parks along the way. Florida and Texas will be the longest stretches. And we're hoping to not catch any live Bizarre File stories, but these stretches will be the perfect time to catch up on your podcast. So please give a big, juicy shout-out to Scott, Julia, and Danielle, and extend it to all of my family, friends, and all the people in my life. This includes you guys who have made the last 30 years so wonderful, your listener, Tanya. So here's a shart, and that's what you want to do, Case.
I do.
Across
Can I do it live on the show?
Country drive. No, you can't.
No.
I think that stretch of I-10 across Texas is 1,000 miles. I think it's literally a third of the entire country. Wow. It's that long stretch of Texas right in the middle. And, they'll be in Texas for, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
As you take to the road, though, if you are getting out, for your summer vacation or traveling about, a lot of people report that they love bringing the podcast with them and enjoy it that way.
Yeah.
In fact, our Night Your Average listeners who were just in here a while ago listened to the, what were the names, Nick?
Oh, the Van There people?
Yeah, Van There people.
Yeah, Mike and his wife, whose name I forget right now, but I'll look it up.
They're wonderful.
They are. And I think they're in, also in Texas right now. I follow them on Instagram.
Okay. As do I, yeah. And we're so observant, we can't remember the freaking name.
Take us along with you, if you will, please. Hold on, Nick, you're going to pull it up?
Jess.
Jess.
Mike
Jess.
And Jess.
Yes, yeah. They're wonderful.
And it is their Instagram is van.there. And they post really cool pictures of them living the van life.
Yep. And their dog, Vinny. I would be loath to leave out Vinny.
Old Vin. All right, let's do the B-File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you today by Skull Shaver. Attention, ball guys. Shave your head in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver. Use promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. I got three in a row here.
All right, let's have them.
That are pretty wild, and they vary in intensity, but I just thought these were... the Bizarre File is great today. A man in Maryland has been charged with murder after his secretive project to build an underground nuclear bunker ended with the death of a worker hired to dig the network of tunnels.
So he was building a nuclear bunker?
Yep. Daniel L. Beckwith was concerned about the increase in international tensions and, in particular, North Korea's acquisition of long-range ballistic missiles, and he was in the process of building a secure location for himself, according to his lawyer, Robert Bonsip. Now, Beckwith was indicted Thursday on charges of involuntary manslaughter, which can be punished up to 10 years imprisonment, and second-degree murder, which can be punished by up to 30 years. Bonsip said that he expected Beckwith to post his $100,000 bail on Monday. Officials were called when a fire broke out at Beckwith's home in a leafy residential neighborhood in Bethesda, Maryland. Police officers and firefighters responded and spoke with Beckwith in the basement. They discovered the naked, charred body of a deceased male. They also found a hole in the basement floor with an entrance shaft that dropped about 20 feet down and fanned out into tunnels spanning about 200 feet underground.
Oh, my God.
The man who was found dead, a guy named Askia Kafara, had been working to dig the tunnels. The medical examiner determined that the cause of death was smoke inhalation and thermal injury. So he burned to death and died from smoke inhalation as well. Beckwith, who had made profits in the seven figures over the years by trading stocks, had been trying to keep himself safe in the event of a nuclear attack and had been working with Kafara for months. He added that Beckwith had invested in Kafara's entrepreneurial ventures in the past, so when he sought help to dig the tunnels, Kafara was an experienced, willing participant.
Sure, I'll dig your tunnel.
Who returned to the house multiple times and posted pictures of himself underground and wearing safety gear on social media. Now, court documents indicate that on multiple occasions, Beckwith gave Kafara a ride from Silver Springs, Maryland to the house in Bethesda, but had him put on blackout glasses on the way and told him the house was actually in Virginia so the Kafara would not know exactly where he was working.
So when the missile started flying, he wouldn't come running.
Kind of like that.
Just keeping his little silo there, his bunker hidden.
The house is maintained in hoarder conditions with narrow maze-like pathways throughout. They added that the substantial electrical needs of the underground tunnel complex were served by a haphazard daisy chain of extension cords and plug extenders that caused substantial risk of fire, and that Beckwith was aware of an increased fire risk in the hours before the blaze. Prosecutors say Kafara had sent a text message about a smoky smell, and Beckwith had tried flipping a circuit breaker. Bonsam said that after the fire broke out, Beckwith tried twice to rescue Kafara but could not because he was overcome by the smoke and that he was later hospitalized for facial burns and smoke inhalation.
Yeah, he got burned up digging my hole.
So this guy is facing murder and manslaughter charges, right?
So he's like so terrified.
Yeah.
He's building this hole and the guy gets burned up trying to set everything up.
All right. Story number two.
All right.
A teenager who had his penis ripped off by a shark as he swam in the Sea of Brazil, has died. Oh, Jose Ernesto da Silva was attacked.
Which one was it, Mark Cuban?
No. After it wasn't one of those sharks, not from Shark Tank. Died while bathing in the waters of Piedade Beach.
The ripped off penis, that's what that means.
Near Recife on Brazil's northeast coast. The shark struck at just his lifeguard station on the beach and told the 18-year-old to come closer to the shore, and he died at the hospital having suffered two heart attacks on the way.
That's a tough angle.
The youngster had his left leg amputated and had veins reattached to his sexual organs in a three-hour operation. His doctors tried to stem his blood loss, but the victim died hours later.
Oh, my God.
He had been ordered by his mother not to go to the beach following a horrendous shark attack in April, in which a 34-year-old tourist lost an arm and a leg. A shocking video taken by passersby, shows the moment that other people pulled Jose from the sea before emergency crews arrived. I wouldn't watch the video.
So it bit up high enough on the leg where it bit off the penis as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
He apparently in the video lies limp and unresponsive on the sand and gasps for air as a concerned helper holds his head and tells him to keep breathing. Well, another lifts his leg in a desperate attempt to keep him alive, but despite undergoing emergency surgery, his penis and femur were amputated by the bite of what is believed to be a tiger shark, and he died from it.
I'm sorry, man. So someone like a month earlier was killed on that same beach?
In April, yeah.
In April?
Yeah.
No, so, don't go swimming there.
Agreed. All right, lighter, but just as bizarre.
If you can tie them both together, a guy who builds his shelter to protect him from penis attacks.
No, this is different. After suffering from abdominal pain and constipation for 2 days,
yeah.
One 50-year-old Chinese man decided that the best thing to do would be to shove an eggplant up his butt.
Oh, man. Trust me, it doesn't work.
Trust you?
Yeah, it does not work.
Unsurprisingly, in the end, the enormous vegetable did little to solve the man's problem, only making the pain and discomfort worse while also inducing nausea and vomiting. After another 2 days of this, he finally decided that it might be time to go to the hospital. At the hospital, he got an x-ray scan which showed that the aubergine was so large that it had been shoved that it was actually causing damage to his lung.
Oh, my God. I don't know how to tell you this, but I have an eggplant up my ass.
Quickly, doctors at the hospital decided to operate. They managed to carefully pull out the foreign object afterward.
It was touching his lung?
They measured the eggplant, finding that it was around 30 centimeters long.
Preston.
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever had, like, you know, the digital exam?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
No.
How could it be?
Neither would an egg.
So, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to get right to this other story. It's our last one. It's kind of lengthy, but I love it. A standoff in a Florida grocery store between a hammer-wielding suspect and local law enforcement ended in an arrest and multiple charges after one quick-thinking official dinged the suspect in the back with first one and then a second can of Bush's Extra Brown Sugar Baked Beans.
We were laughing at the video this morning.
Oh, my God.
It's so perfect.
It's hilarious. John Tyler Stanford walked into a grocery store and after destroying his vehicle near the store, Sheriff Tommy Ford and several other law enforcement personnel responded to the grocery store after receiving inaccurate emergency calls inside the store that an armed man was holding hostages inside and someone had been shot. That wasn't the case. When authorities arrived, they were trying to establish communication with the suspect inside, but he walked out of the store pointing the hammer as if it was a gun. Sheriff Major Jimmy Stanford said, "We realized that he wasn't holding a gun, but we weren't sure if he had a firearm on him." Stanford is not related to the suspect, by the way. They have the same last name. As the three officers approached the entrance where Stanford was standing, he started to swing the hammer at them. The suspect then went back into the store. In the video of the incident, Major Stanford is seen positioning himself behind the suspect, whose attention was with the two other officers. He was continuing to swing his hammer at him. So Major Stanford was hoping to catch the suspect off guard and apprehend him from behind, but the suspect realized he was also being approached from behind. He said, "He saw me, and then I saw the cans, and it was almost like they were meant to be there." So he grabbed two cans of baked beans. He whips them at the guy. The first one just clocks him right in the head.
Dead on.
And those things are heavy.
Yes.
And all three of the law enforcement officials were able to apprehend the guy. The suspect was taken to a local hospital for his injuries. He tried to take a weapon from a deputy who was standing guard over him in the emergency room. But the video is hilarious. You just see him take these beans and just
boom.
Boom. Nails him right in the head. Florida man.
Florida man.
It actually reminds me of Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
Remember that?
The guy is
a purse snatcher and he knocks somebody's groceries out of their hands and he picks up this can of soup and whips it and nails the dude in the head. That's just what this video is like.
That's good thinking.
Yep. So this guy's going to jail now. And there you go. Told you it was a good bizarre file.
It was a good bizarre file.
I saw some other great stories. We'll get to those a little bit later on. Let's take a break. Come back in a moment. Tori's going to get some ink this morning. It's Tattoos Day. Got a couple of clowns. What are these clowns doing around here?
I have no idea.
This morning, no. But we actually have our friends from the Big Apple Circus who are here. And I'll give you some more details and some tickets, your chance to win. Don't forget also Washington Township High School. Look for the coolest teacher of the year. If you have one in mind, text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, 239-333, and we'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Royal Blood.
I only lie when I love you.
Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats. Tom Kiefer featuring Lizzie Hale.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thanks, Kat. So I guess it's from, Song Facts. Somebody pulled up. Axl Rose wrote the lyrics. It's a joke. This is a used to love her, but I had to kill her. It was rumored that the song's about his dog with the story that he loved the pooch but had to have it put to sleep and then buried her in the backyard. So I don't know. That doesn't really clear it up.
Hell,
I don't know.
If you listen to it and listen to the lyrics and think that it's about the dog, it fits. You know? So
yeah.
Just go with that.
All right. Steve, I wanted to mention the Mac Fund charity coming up.
Yes. Thank you so much, Preston. It's called the Mutiny on the Mashulu. The Mac Fund is a charity my wife started to help homeless and feral cats. They very often get killed outside, and it's terrible conditions for them. She's helping to fund different charities that save them. It's actually doing very well, changing a lot of stuff as far as cats are concerned and feral cats. It's at the Mashulu. It's June 21st from 6 to 9 p.m. on the deck of the Mashulu, which is gorgeous down there in Penn's Landing. There's a whole bunch of entertainers who are going to be wandering around during this event. We're talking magicians, jugglers, tarot card reader, a guy who does the bubbles. The basic deal is it's the cats are taking over the ship, and there's a whole bunch of crazy stuff going on. So while you're walking around, you're going to be entertained. There's all sorts of booze being provided by Yards Brewery and vodka from Stateside. Brandywine Distillery is coming by as well. Plus, there are all sorts of prizes, raffles. A number of our calendar girls are going to be pirateers. They're going to be walking around. There's going to be kitten petting stations. We want to see you down there. It's very important to keep this going. It's you know, we're already seeing the results of it. If you have the time and you can come down and be a part of it, we'd really love it and be very thankful for your participation. Tickets are available if you go to PrestonSteve.com. It's Mutiny on the Mishulu. It's going to be a great night, a lot of fun, a lot of free stuff. And if you want to bring your charitable side down to that event, we'd really appreciate it. So check it on out.
Nice. Hey, not to get too serious for a moment, but yep. There's been a couple of stories that have popped up about breast cancer in the last couple of days.
Well, you know, they're serious stories, Preston, but they're very encouraging.
I do just want to touch on the boobies for a moment, if yes. you don't mind. But this was from a couple of days ago. Most women with the most common form of early stage breast cancer can safely skip chemotherapy without hurting their chances of beating the disease. Doctors reporting this from a landmark study that used genetic testing to gauge each patient's risk. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yes. I mean, this is kind of a revelation.
Yeah, it was the largest ever done of breast cancer treatment, and the results are expected to spare up to 70,000 patients a year in the United States and many more elsewhere, the ordeal and expense of going through chemotherapy.
Yes.
Which, you know, I've heard various stories from people and their reactions to chemo. Some have said it's just absolutely miserable. Just the most, you know, like the worst flu you've ever had times 10.
Yeah.
And then I've heard others say that it wasn't quite as bad. You know, obviously you don't feel well, but I guess it might depend on the levels of which they're using it and so on.
And
I
how your body reacts.
Yeah, and how your body reacts. I don't really know.
So
but to be able to avoid that safely is a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't have to take that risk, but mm-hmm. that you know, it's very encouraging news. They are getting better and better, though, with the chemo and the specifics and you know, targeting and so on and so forth. So, but if you can totally avoid it, it's not part of the treatment, that's great.
It was a study funded by the National Cancer Institute. And one of the doctors said that the impact is tremendous. This is the study leader and said most women in the situation don't need treatment beyond surgery and hormone therapy. So that can be good news. But it also, that's kind of a, you know, if you get that diagnosis, aren't you thinking, dude, throw everything at me?
All the works. Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be a tough call. And then there's this other story that just surfaced. A woman with advanced breast cancer, which had spread around her body, has been completely cleared of the disease by a groundbreaking therapy that harnessed the power of her immune system to fight the tumors.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's the first time that a patient with late-stage breast cancer has been successfully treated by a form of immunotherapy that uses the patient's own immune cells to find and destroy cancer cells that have formed in the body. And I explain exactly how this works.
Dr. Mike was talking and touting this a while ago, the when they were doing the trials. It's amazing. Explain how it works, Preston.
So, well, first of all, it's a woman named Judy Perkins. She's an engineer from Florida. She was 49. She was selected for the radical new therapy after several rounds of routine chemo failed to stop a tumor in her right breast from growing and spreading to her liver and other areas. At the time, she was given 3 years to live. Doctors who cared for the woman at the U.S. National Cancer Institute in Maryland said Perkins's response had been remarkable. The therapy wiped out cancer cells so effectively that she has now been free of the disease for 2 years. So one of the spokesperson, Laszlo Radvignani, scientific director of the Ontario Institute for Cancer Research, said it was an unprecedented response in such advanced breast cancer. And it's raised hopes, obviously, that therapy is going to work in more patients with advanced breast cancer and other difficult to treat cancers. But it's early. It's very early. But also in ovarian or prostate cancer.
So isn't the issue, Preston, that if I understand, again, I'm, you know, we're all pre-law here, so we're not that well versed in this. But the cancer cells stay hidden from your own body's defense systems. And what a lot of this does is allows the cells allows your cancer fighting, your own body's cancer fighting abilities to recognize the cancer cells and go after them. So cancer is not recognized a lot of times by your own immune system, and that's an issue. And I'm sure I'm as dumbing this down as I possibly can, but that's my understanding. Right, because it isn't invading.
Or there's not enough of them. So researchers are now planning a full-scale clinical trial to assess how effective the treatment could be. So experts caution the treatment has only proved itself in one woman.
Yeah.
And that the clinical trials are needed to see how effective the therapy could be in other patients. So Researchers point out while the treatment could, in principle, work for many different kinds of cancer, it will not help everyone. So to create the treatment, they first cut small pieces of tissue from this woman's tumors, and then they studied the DNA to find mutations specific to her cancer. They focused on mutations that disrupted four genes, which produced an array of abnormal proteins in the tumors.
So they studied her specific cancer.
Yes. Then the doctors extracted immune cells known as tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, or TILs, from the tumor biopsies. These are cells from the patient's immune system that have invaded the tumor in a bid to kill it, but which failed in the task by being either too weak or too few the number. So it was already going after the cancer. Mm-hmm. It just couldn't do it. But there is either too weak or too few. So after growing billions of these immune cells in the lab, the researchers screened them to find out which ones would most effectively find and destroy the woman's cancer cells by recognizing their abnormal proteins. The doctors treated her by injecting 80 billion of the carefully selected immune cells in her body. So they handpicked these particular cells, and then they increased the number of them, 80 billion. And then they sent him in there, and the therapy was given alongside a standard drug that is called, I'm going to mess this up, pembrolizumab, and it can help the immune system to attack cancers. Tests after 42 weeks showed that she was completely cancer-free, and she has remained so ever since.
Wow. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
So if treatments like this continue to be successful, does that mean that there will be a dramatic reduction in mastectomies?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
It sounds like it could, just from a layman's perspective.
They caution it might not work for everybody. So if they can avoid that, that certainly would be wonderful.
There's
so
a woman
women not have to go through that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a woman coming in a few weeks, and she emailed me, Casey. She's coming in for a tattoos day, but she wanted to bring in a couple of friends who've been really supportive of her, and she had a double mastectomy, and she's getting tattoos on where her breasts were.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that must be like to go through that, to have something surgically removed from your body
yeah.
that's that evident, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, and again, if you talk to people who go through it, and we, you know, so many people, you know, through my prostate experience and getting tied into breast cancer charities and things of that nature as well, they're surviving. They've beaten it, you know, and that's an amazing thing.
You guys want to talk to a scientist?
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to go to Ben as a drug discovery scientist. Yeah, hey, Ben.
Professor Ben here. So I call in a couple times. You guys talked about science, medicine, what have you.
Cool. Okay. What's up, man?
So I am a drug discovery scientist. I've worked in a research lab for 25 years. Steve, you're kind of on the money about the immune system not being able to see the cancer cells. That's correct. The medication we're talking about, the procedures, though, they're exceptionally expensive. They cost about $800,000 per patient.
Yeah.
Because of the elaborate nature of this. So I don't think this is likely to replace all of, you know, the chemotherapy. You're looking at a very, very specific patient population, and you have to really know the specific genetics of the disease.
So there's a lot of research and a lot of lab work that goes on a per patient basis.
Absolutely. So, you know, most people think of cancer as being a single disease, but it really isn't. And there's literally, you know, dozens upon dozens of different diseases that are considered that are cancer. Breast cancer alone, there are a number of different types of breast cancer, and each one has its own idiosyncrasies, which proteins are overexpressed or underexpressed that cause them, the cells to become oncogenic or proliferate uncontrollably. So there's a lot more to it that goes into it. This is a great find, no question, both the stories you guys are talking about, but it's unlikely to replace chemotherapy overall.
For example, as Dr. Mike says, he says in 5 years you may take a pill that will prevent you from getting prostate cancer, but right now, like I had the robotic prostatectomy, that is a gold standard, and so that's sure. what you have. So,
yeah, and of
but,
course,
but it is developments are occurring.
Yeah, Ben, well, these are all steps in the right direction to
absolutely
make things simpler, hopefully down the road.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the greatest things we've had is our ability to detect cancers has become, you know, world better than it used to be. So people who, you know, would show up with a late stage, you know, stage 3, stage 4 breast cancer, you can find them much earlier, and then the treatment becomes much easier. You know, it's like I get the analogy I use with my students is you know, if a person is prone to having a heart attack and you can give them a cholesterol lowering medication, you know, you save them from having that heart attack that requires a long-term treatment, yeah. Bypass surgery or something like that. Same thing with breast cancer or any kind of cancer. The earlier you find it, the better off you are. That's why things like pancreatic cancer are so difficult to deal with, because you can't find them until the patient is usually in late stage cancer and they're already 3 months away from dying.
Hmm. But yeah, it's wild to see, though, these things, you know, start to incrementally come out that are clearly, you know, moving us in a much better direction.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Nice.
All right, listen, you guys have a great day. I got to get back in the lab.
All right. Thanks, get back in that damn lab. Yo, you save some lives.
See ya.
Dr. Lauer on line 4.
Yeah.
Oh, who are they, shit? Let the robots do it.
Doctor?
That's the doctor.
I'm here with my lab, my meth lab.
they just signed a piece of legislation, Preston. I know you had talked about this a while ago, that if someone is, you know, if people who are in terminal conditions want to try medications that have not been completely have not completely gone through the full process of being approved, they can opt to sign in and offer themselves up to try these
test subjects
types of medications earlier than would normally have been allowed.
Which really?
So, you know, if you want to go for it, you know, and it's kind of a noble thing too to do that. I remember a while ago you were mentioning something similar, like why don't they let people who are in this condition do that? Well, now they're going to let them do that.
Okay, nice, excellent. All right. Well, anyhow, that's this is good news.
The doctor's corner.
It's no.
Oh, it's
the surgeon.
It's a ways off before we'll see anything, you know, come of that widespread, because they've got to do all these clinical testings and so on and so forth.
Is this the doctor's corner here?
It's Dookie Preston.
This used to be Preston's World, remember?
Yeah. Welcome to Preston's World.
Well, we keep changing everything.
Yeah, we do. However, how much is Tom Papa? 9 o'clock.
He's at 9 o'clock.
Like promptly or?
Well, he's not on a tour, but.
Here's a man who so bakes.
He's calling us at 9.
Meticulous sourdough breads. He'll be right on time.
Well, I've got something. And if we're going to talk to Tom, we'll probably want to take a break and come back for him, right?
Yeah. Why? So. You have something that's going to.
It might eat up a little bit of time.
You know what, Preston? Why this might work out is that there's a huge bag of popcorn in the green room.
All right. How about this, Stephen? What?
Did you see all the cotton candy too?
No, I did not.
Oh, there's bags and bags of it.
Really? Like just like at the circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I hate cotton candy.
Do you?
I used to love it.
I saw these two guys that were having a cotton candy eating contest, like who could eat it the fastest.
What? Just an impromptu?
Well, I don't know where it was.
Lou, you want to have a cotton candy eating contest? Love to.
Well, so
since we can't get laid.
They're lined up, you know, across from each other, and they both have the equal amount of cotton candy. And they say, ready, set, go. And the guy starts eating it, but the other dude takes his whole cotton candy and he crushes it up into a tiny little ball and just shoves it in his mouth.
It really is like it's like a black hole when you stop and think about it. Because the conversion of pot and how much an ounce of pot is or whatever. Cotton candy is when you're done with eating a huge thing of cotton candy, what have you actually eaten? Is it like a candy bar?
Did you see what Kathy had left over yesterday?
So they brought cotton candy in last time they were here, and I never did anything with it. It just sat in a bag here in the studio, and so it was like a rock. I mean, the whole thing.
It shriveled
down, and it was hard as a rock.
So we used to have, Steve, at home, a small cotton candy machine. You could buy them.
I wanted Santa Claus to bring me one so badly when I was a kid.
So you know what you would put in there to make the cotton candy? Jolly Ranchers.
What?
You take Jolly Ranchers, you put it in the middle, there's a heating element. It heats it up, that thing spins around, and as it's melting, it throws it out to the sides, and it comes out in this kind of stringy stuff.
Wait, so Jolly Ranchers?
It's just sugar,
but
basically.
Jolly Ranchers and anything else?
Thank you, Ranch.
That's all we use was Jolly Ranchers.
Just Jolly Ranchers, and it made that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that device, that cotton candy machine, is being used to treat skin cancer?
No.
My God.
Wow.
So it's mainly air.
Here's a big, right? So I can crush it up. But have we ever met before? So I'm crushing it up. It becomes super tiny.
Yeah, all right. And you can swallow that. You can put that in your mouth. It'll dissolve right away.
Yeah, instant diabetes in a handful. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I'm going to take all this.
Casey's going to do the whole thing.
Do it. Do it, man.
I'm not going to eat this, though.
All right, I'll try it.
Here we go. And boom.
He's crushing it. It's actually falling apart, and he's making a hell of a mess.
Let me see.
That's as tight as it gets.
Okay. Oh, that's
do it. Eat it.
No,
I'm
eat
not
going
to eat it. Oh. No, I don't
want to
eat it.
Okay. You don't have to. Don't worry about it. By the way, we want to thank Big Apple Circus for bringing by all this cotton candy and hot dogs and all the popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
I assume you're going to take that home with you. You should.
Well, if not,
you used to have a giant bag of popcorn.
I'm blessed. I had. I kid you not. The last time they brought it, it was a freestanding bag of popcorn that was about 3 or 4 feet up.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
I would sit there on the couch with the bag of popcorn next to me on the floor. It was the most ridiculous thing, but yeah, I love me my popcorn.
So we are going to give away some tickets for the Big Apple Circus, by the way. It's playing at the Philadelphia Mills Mall now through the 24th, and we want to thank Mr. Joel and Skip the Clown for coming by.
They were delightful.
So let's take callers 11 and 12, and I will give away family four packs to each of those. 215-263-WMMR is the number, so go right ahead and do that. Don't you wish? It would have been fun to be in the circus. If you were in the circus,
yeah,
what would you have chosen?
I would have been a performing poodle.
To do a performing poodle with the little can skirts and do the dancing.
Because I could nail that stuff much easier than the other dogs.
Mm-hmm. Trapeze.
Trapeze?
Yeah, for sure.
Human cannonball.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
By the way, so when was the last circus death from a human cannonball? They're not.
God, I don't know.
Has there ever been?
I don't know.
Everyone thinks it's very dangerous. I think it looks fun.
It does look fun, but I remember going to the circus, and that would be like the last thing that they would do. Yeah. It was pretty damn amazing.
Because if it didn't work, would it just blow entrails out all over the...
I mean, the head would pretty much stay... But, human cannonball or the globe with the motorcycles inside of it?
So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll have someone go stand in that at the bottom of that while they... That's pretty cool, too.
Yep. Yep.
What would be fun to allow you to be around it and not be too dangerous and too death-defying?
I miss Circus of the Stars. You guys remember that?
I used to watch it all the time.
Brooke Shields walking on glass and...
Louis Anderson doing the tightrope.
It's very impressive. Yeah,
Dom DeLuise
doing the trapeze.
I don't miss Circus with the Stars.
Dom DeLuise
doing the trapeze. Yeah, and he was, and it was one of the Olsen twins was his catching him.
No, you know, actually, what I would love to have been was like the knife thrower.
Yes, knife and hatchet. Not the person who stands there.
No. The actual thrower of said objects. I would love to have done that.
I think I would do my version of. Of contortionist, a contortionist act where I kind of reach back and scratch my back a little bit.
Yes.
And touch my toes.
Oh, you could do that?
Yeah.
By the way, this just pull up on Wikipedia. More than 30 human cannonballs have died during the performance of the stunt.
Huh.
Among the latest was one that occurred in Kent, United Kingdom, April 25th. And that was 2011, where a human cannonball died as a result of the failure of the safety net. Steve, it didn't blow entrails out of the... end of the cannon.
That would be cool, though, wouldn't it?
Landing is considered to be the most dangerous aspect of the act.
Yeah, they say it's not the fall, it's the landing that kills you.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's a lot. That's actually more than I thought.
Yeah, I didn't know that. All right, anyhow, so we're going to give away those four packs of family four packs for the Big Apple Circus, and they're great, and Nick Willenda is involved in that. I mean, the
legendary, yes.
Doing shows every single day that they have it. So it's now through the 24th. We'll take those callers now. All right, let's break and come back. We'll get our buddy Tom Pop on. It's one of our all-time favorites.
Love him.
So make sure that you stay close, and we'll get you details on some other things that we have coming up in a moment, like the MMR Beer Bash. Maybe you haven't heard about that. You can go to WMMR.com to get the details. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Here is the gift for your dad for Father's Day. Gang, I speak from experience. I got this gift myself, and it is fantastic from Omaha Steaks. I'm a griller. Maybe he's a griller. You got to get him this. 78% off for this special Father's Day Omaha Steaks gift package. It includes, get this, 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 more grill-ready Omaha Steaks burgers for free with the purchase. Now, you get this all for $49.99, but here's what you have to do. You have to go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Father's Day package to your cart. Remember, it's a limited time and only $49.99, but you have to go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Father's Day package to your cart. Grab your dad and fire up the grill. Don't wait.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, give Dad some peace and quiet this Father's Day with a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley to choose from. Go to handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And thank you very much, Kathy. It is actually perfect that our next guest is on the show, because yesterday I was thinking of him before I even knew that he was scheduled to come on the program.
He was inside your mind?
He was in there. No, I was at the, I went by the grocery store to pick up some stuff for the family for dinner. And while there, I bought a sourdough baguette.
All right.
So the bread aisle.
Now you ripped the Band-Aid off now.
And I immediately...
Do you follow him on Instagram?
I don't, and I need to. You know what? I will after this interview.
I want to die. The most incredibly delicious-looking sourdough breads. And I've how much have I gone off about the freaking... I will show you pictures of this guy's sourdough bread ability.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm sick of it. Until we get a sourdough sample from this man,
all
right, I'm on a mission.
Okay. All right. Well, let's welcome. He's got a new movie. Or not a new movie. He's got a new book.
The book.
Out. Someday, the movie, Your Dad Stole My Rake, will be in theaters near you. But for the meantime, it's a book that's out today. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Papa.
Yeah.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, one and all.
Do you realize as a younger man, I had the proverbial blue testicles, as they say. I don't know what the bread equivalent of that is, Tom, but Jesus Christ. And not only that, you're the Ansel Adams of bread photography now.
Is it weird that I have more pictures of my bread than I do my children?
No, not only are they stills, there's video where you'll go across and they'll be good bread, bad bread. And I'm agreeing. To me, it's you know, listen, I'm an aficionado of snuff films, and this is more interesting.
It's about to get worse.
Oh,
but really?
I have a top secret announcement.
Okay, if this involves a Tom Papa bread, like a Panera or something, I'm on board.
Close. That'll be phase two.
All right. Right?
But it hasn't been formally announced, but I'll tell you guys. Just don't tell anyone else.
All right, sorry.
On Labor Day, will be the first episode on the Food Network of Baked with Tom Papa.
No way!
Love it!
Food Network show.
Love it!
That's insane, dude. That's perfect!
Where I travel around the country and shine a light on all the best bakeries and baked goods in the country.
Well, now that I understand, it all fits together like a Jenga puzzle here, because that's you've been putting up pictures of these various places. And I contend, and we've talked about this many times, we've talked about the topic of going to a particular restaurant for nothing other than their signature bread. And it's so the same way a exactly. wine connoisseur loves wine, the bread aficionado can understand that, correct?
And I wasn't even thinking about doing a show. I literally was just making bread, and when I would travel around the country doing stand-up, I would just stop in the bakeries, and they heard about it and asked if I would do a show. All these years of trying, writing scripts, auditioning, trying to get on TV. I make bread with my daughter, and now I'm back on TV.
Well, is it? But you know what? That's actually the most wonderfully benign, beautiful thing, because it comes from a legitimate place of love. It's something you absolutely enjoy, And it can't help but let us know when the premiere date is and everything. We'll definitely promote it.
All right. Yeah, it'll be Labor Day, but I'll formally announce it soon.
All right.
By the way, Tom, did you film in Philly anywhere yet?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes,
one
indeed.
Of our sleuths kind of figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
And
indeed.
We have to do is go back because I remember there was a place in Philly on, I believe, a picture on Instagram. We'll do a little research.
Nice.
Congratulations on the book, by the way. Your Dad Stole My Rake and Other Family Dilemmas. My accidental two copies are arriving from Amazon today. I apparently hit the button twice. But this is your first book, and it's got to be cool. I don't care. We've talked to many people who didn't think they would get that moment where they hold the physical book in their hand, and there's just something different about it, correct?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I've been a stand-up for such a long time, and I'm always communicating just by talking to people. So now to actually write it down, and a friend of mine was just called and said, that she was reading it and that she was reading this one part and she was laughing. It's such a cool idea that someone has my words sitting in another city, wherever she's sitting, going through it and having the same effect as when I'm doing it on stage. It was, it's pretty trippy. I'm pretty proud of it.
I remember reading, comedians that I loved, growing up, like Woody Allen had a couple books out and Steve Martin had his, when he initially burst on the scene, there was some, obviously he's written other books, but to be able to get that same joy of laughing out loud, reading a book is a wonderful thing. And I wanted to have a physical copy of the book because to me, that's part of the whole deal.
Oh, it's awesome. Hey. I think, it's super cool. It's all about family. It's called Your Dad Stole My Rake and Other Family Dilemmas. And I broke it down as a comedian watching everybody in your family for 20 years. I've written about everyone in your life, family, mothers, fathers, cousins, crazy aunts, whatever. And you can bounce around throughout the book. And because I really feel like, after doing this for this long, we're all pretty much exactly the same. Like you try and be cool and my family's different or my family drives me crazy if you're the only one. We're all pretty much the same. So I just wanted to put together like this kind of I don't want to, take a big dump on families either. It's a celebration of it. But while laughing at it at the same time.
All right. So, Tom, when you write a book like this, do you have to walk a line of material that you've used on stage, material you'd like to use on stage? Does this all need to be exclusively in the book? How do you hash that out?
No, I wanted to go into new territory with it for sure. But there are some times when there's lines that just fit so perfectly that I would borrow from my own stand-up. There's like, the one line that I just feel like always resonates more than anything when I talk about how you get into a family because of romance. Romance is the thing that turns you on. It's why the two of you have this chemistry. That's why the whole thing starts. But then after mortgages and car payments and dogs and cats and dead pets and relatives, there's no time for romance. You ultimately become business partners in a horrible nonprofit organization.
That's exactly correct. Exactly correct.
Oh, my God, that's spot on.
And I've used that in my act, but I'm like, that really has to be down.
I can see that.
When we give advice or we have singles mixers, and I say, don't pick the person who's just dazzling in the sheets. Pick someone you can sit on the couch with and make fun of TV commercials. That's because that's more of what you're going to do.
Yeah, no, I'd say the same thing. I'm like, this person that you're with today, who you're considering marrying, you have to realize this is the sales model. This is what moves it off the showroom floor. You think 30 years down the road, what is this guy going to look like in 30 years? He's going to be three times the size. He's going to be bald or worse, just three hairs like a doll that's been caught in a fire. Yeah. And the same thing with your girl. She's going to have she has long hair now. When she's older, she's going to have that old lady haircut that's just short and goes straight up like she's always surprised.
What is that? What is that? it's almost like, and people joke about it and then they, It's a Stepford thing. People say and they're aware of it and that'll never be me, and it ends up being them.
Yeah, because it's just, you just want something easy. My hair goes straight up like I'm surprised. And all I remember about fashion is I like flowers. So that's all they wear. Shower curtain dress filled with flowers.
It's true. It's true. I love some of the comedians who have stepped in to write their approval of the book. Jerry Seinfeld, I'm just taking a part of a quote. He says, I would definitely recommend whatever the name of this book is. So that's heartfelt. But Steven Soderbergh, who you directed you in Beyond the Candelabra, Tom Papa has spun his meaningless life into pure comic gold. That's got
nice to
be good.
To be loved.
It's nice to be loved. Yeah. So that's got to be great. And so, so you're doing this, you're doing the bread, you're doing the stand up, you're doing the, now live from here, you're still doing, you know, your new gig, obviously, or newer gig, you know, doing that. Prairie Home Companion. Where, I mean, it's honestly, where are you finding time to do the various things? How can you fit a loaf of bread in here and there?
I don't know. I was just actually talking with my father yesterday. He was talking about, oh, this movie, it's a good one for the plane. And it struck me that I haven't seen a movie on a plane, and I'm on planes all the time. I haven't seen a movie on a plane in over a year.
Wow.
I have so much to write. All my spare time is just spent writing and performing. So I'm just kind of, I'm just keep plowing. You know, in doing this bread show, you know, this is like the belly aching. You're like, oh, I haven't seen a movie on a plane. And I'm talking to this baker in Cleveland the other day, and he's been doing his bakery for 30 years. He's up, he's there at 2 o'clock in the morning making bread and putting all this stuff out so you can have your little roll on your way to work. And I said to him, wow, this is hard work. He's like, it's just another day. Just keep knocking them out.
Right, right, right. But
that's
an enviable thing, yeah.
Yeah, we've all got stuff to do, but it's just, you know, you can't adjust the amount of time in a day, so you just get up, all right, what do I got today? And just plow through it.
Well, speaking of getting up, I mean, it was fairly easy getting you on the show this morning. Are you normally an early riser? Because it's 6:15 where you are right now.
I'm in New York.
He's in New York.
That's why. I could have gotten you earlier.
Yeah. Yeah,
he fell into your trap, didn't he?
I've been up for hours.
Oh, man.
Well, wow. Let me ask you. So you got you have some book signings that are taking place. I know you did an event with was Colin Quinn. At Barnes & Noble. This is a new experience to be able to talk about the book how's the reaction? Because I have to say, as I was checking my order on Amazon, I noticed there were no reviews as of yet. You've got to be happy with the way it's being received.
Yeah, people really like it, which is super cool. And it comes out today, literally comes out today. And you couldn't write any reviews until today. And I was just looking at it, making sure it was all up, and I saw, be the first one to write a review.
I'll be the first one, yeah, but I know, like there's a bit of, like, Kirkus and...
It's too late, I already wrote the first
one. Son of a bitch, son of a bitch.
And surprise, I loved it.
Oh, that is a shocker.
Hey, Tom, when you write a book about family, there's another line I had asked earlier about walking the line, and, you know, A, has anybody else in the family read it yet? And B, did you have to warn anybody about anything?
They have read it. I think most of them have read it. Mm-hmm. I had to warn a couple people. There was a story about my cousin and I when we were 10, when our older cousins got us high at a wedding.
Okay.
And we had this crazy adventure. And I wanted to warn him because he's a lawyer in New Jersey that he might get some calls.
Was he cool? Was he cool with it?
Kind of.
He's not a DEA agent, right?
Yeah. And my parents and stuff, they were pretty cool with it. I did. My in-laws are not the best people on the planet. And I felt like I censored myself and was kind to them. But yeah. I heard from my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is waiting for them to see it because she thinks it's going to be a bit of a problem.
Wow.
Well, you got your second book written already then.
Yeah.
the pricks who gave birth to my wife. Yeah, no, it's a...
That's a tough one, man.
I mean, but comedy has always been about experiences like that. And your particular brand of comedy is... you know, is that? Are they not the nicest people because they disapprove of what you do for a living, or are there things you can talk about?
No, it's not even. They're just dingbats.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
They're just dingbats, and they're not nice to their own children. Ah. You know, it's like I don't want to be friends with them, but they're not. You know, they create a hassle for my wife, and they create a hassle for everybody else. And yeah. I was like, at first I wrote the first essay on them and really let it out.
Wow.
I just really let it go. And I showed my wife, and I was like, too much?
When she stopped crying?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, just maybe it's a little too much.
So do you guys spend time with them at all?
Once in a while. They're the worst. They were, you know.
No, listen, once you make peace with that, once you know that, then she can go and visit with them, and you stay and do what you're going to do. And everyone's, yeah. You know, my wife is a little frightened of my father. And so I visit him and we worked it out. It's just part of the deal. There's no, you don't, you know, there's nothing in the marriage license that says you are obliged to love everyone in the adjacent family. It's, you know,
exactly. And I think, and at first I come from a big Italian family. We were all just, you know, everybody's family. If you're even close to somebody that's close to the family, they become family. You absorb them like an amoeba. And then
it's beautiful.
And then I met these weirdos, and they were like not even showing up for the holidays and stuff. And at first it bothered me, but then I was like, well, wait a minute. What am I complaining about? I can go to one house on Thanksgiving and go right back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually an optimum situation, especially for a busy man. With the series and everything else and is there room for acting? Because Preston and I were talking sort of fondly talking about how much we did enjoy, I mentioned Beyond the Candelabra earlier. Too bad Liberace didn't live long enough for a part 2, but is there anything in that realm, because you were so good and you are so good when you do this stuff like the Nick and other things, is anything in the works as far as acting for you?
Yeah, I've been working on a couple pilot things. I have a couple show ideas that I'm supposed to film one in August, which is about me playing this fading Vegas magician, which now that I say it out loud, isn't that far from Liberace.
it's such a good movie. It is so good, and everyone's you and Rob Lowe and obviously the mains, but anything Vegas. So who is it styled after? Is there anybody in particular? The magician?
No, it's just that thing. I was thinking about this old comedian who isn't really working that much anymore, and he's on these cruise ships, and it's just like you realize, well, he's not in the best spot, but he's been doing this his whole life, so he can't quit. He can't like all of a sudden go into sales or something.
Right.
He's kind of stuck. And I was like, well, what would that be like for, you know, like a Vegas magician? Like, how desperate would he get and what would he do? And in my case, the guy decides that he's going to kidnap the biggest act on the biggest trip and try and take over his act, which doesn't sound like a great decision.
That's cool. That's cool.
And yeah, then it goes from there.
Tom, on IMDb, which is not always accurate, it does have you credited in a new movie from Rob Zombie called Three from Hell. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah, that is accurate. But it's a Rob, you know, he directed a couple of my stand-up specials, and he's always making these great horror films. And he put me in it. I'm a little disappointed because he was originally the first part I was going to get killed. I said to him, do I get killed in it? And he goes, well, if you can live without a face, no.
Well, that's cutting to the chase. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the role kind of changed. And now I'm like a reporter. It's a small role, but I'm psyched to be in it.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there. Consider Bread of the Dead as a potential project. You brought, bring them both together.
I like that.
What's that secret ingredient in the sourdough? All that stuff. No, that's very cool.
A little Sweeney Todd to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It says, reading on this info sheet, you're going to be at Bookends Bookstore, Ridgewood, New Jersey, this Thursday, doing a little book signing action. So that's at 6 o'clock. Do you have a, is this your first book you've ever put out, Tom?
Yeah, this is the first one. And
so,
if I'm not doing one in Philly, but tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 7, you can come to my Facebook page, and we're going to be doing a Facebook Live signing for anyone in the country where I'm going to, because I'm going to be stuck here in New York. If you can't make it out, you can go on Facebook Live tomorrow at 7 and interact with me right there, and I'll sign a book, and they'll send it your way.
Nice. Have you ever happened to have been at a bookstore where an author is doing a signing, and it's just one person sitting at a table, and there's, like, nobody around anywhere?
Yes. Do you have to bring up?
It's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. But it's usually something on, how to paper train your parrot or something like that.
It's not.
Yeah, it's so humiliating. And, you know, the hard part about these book events, you don't sell tickets. They're free. So people could just show up. But the bad part about that is you don't know how many people are coming. Like, if I'm doing a stand-up show, I know I sold 500 tickets.
Yeah.
You walk into a bookstore and you're like, is anybody here?
Yes. But I'm certain.
The Tom Papa signing is taking place.
Oh, you're killing me.
You're going to be great. You know,
American comedian Tom Papa.
Tom Popa is here.
I thought you were my friend.
We are.
It's going to be nothing like
that. It's going to be great.
I'm sure it's going to be fun. But, you know, it's got to be like anything else. Man, I hope people are going to be there. You know, even though Tom's successful and has a name and everything, you're right. You can judge by ticket sales. Oh, got a great house tonight. It's going to be wonderful. Looking forward to it. You're going to showing up this. God, I hope people show up.
Well, a bookstore crowd's different. That's right. And you'll get someone, you know, showing up to protest the Alaskan pipeline or something.
Right.
Well, what are you doing about this, Tom Papa? You never know.
If it's another person, I'll take it.
Just buy the goddamn book.
You're right. Buy the book and review it on Amazon, please.
That's right. Just put your review up.
All right. Well, we wanted to get the word out there and talk to you, obviously, but the book is called Your Dad Stole My Rake. I just want to read about your in-laws, actually.
Yes. I'm getting mine by 8 p.m. tonight, Amazon promises.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Go right to that chapter and let me know how bad it is.
I definitely will.
All right, we love you, Tom. Good luck with everything. We'll talk to you soon, okay, bud?
You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Take care. Tom Papa, guys! And, he's awesome. And we've got to get some of his damn bread. Yesterday, I picked up, literally, I picked up a sourdough baguette. I didn't even know they made baguettes. I just always get the big, you know,
the ball thing
mm-hmm. of sourdough, but it is.
The boule of sourdough bread?
The boule.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, B-O-U-L-E.
That's how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Boule
of sourdough.
Nice. And as he explained last time, there's you get like the starter core.
It's a yeast thing that actually like kicks up in the air.
Yeah.
And somehow or another... It impregnates
your wife.
It impregnates your wife. The mother.
Yeah. The mother.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no other.
Mother.
So anyhow.
Eat the bread, fool.
love Tom Papa. All right, we need to take a break. And you know what else we're going to do? Our friends from the Big Apple Circus are here this morning. They brought in all kinds of great circus fare, meaning cotton candy and hot dogs and
popcorn.
They are legendary, and they're celebrating 40 years under the Big Top with the greatest acts ever assembled, starring Nick Wallenda. And they're playing out in the Philadelphia Mills Mall. It's formerly the Franklin Mills Mall. Now through the 24th. And I have a 4-pack of tickets. I'll take caller number 12, and I will give that to you. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Another stab at the Bizarre File when we return. Hey, gang. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the Eye Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, Saturday, June 16th.
We're headed back to the Valley Forge Casino Resort Event Center.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months. So make an appointment now at WMMR.com. On-site kids activities with Painted Treasure and Aim High Studio, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
As a token of our appreciation for your precious blood, you'll get the newest, freshest collectible Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's new pint glass from
win donations.
And hundreds of donors will be randomly selected to get free tickets to a great summer concert.
Like one of these at BB&T Pavilion, Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie on August 9th, or Godsmack and Shinedown August 26th.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 13th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region, Valley Forge Casino Resort,
and 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first.
All right, thanks, Kat. By the way, yeah, at the Blood Drive, all donors are going to get the newest President and Steve t-shirt and this year's new pint glass from Window Nation. So I do have the official rundown of some other things, like some of the randomly selected people receiving concert tickets. And we have a bunch of different ones. So Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie, Godsmack and Shinedown, Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin, or Judas Priest and Deep Purple.
That's a pretty stellar collection of concert tickets.
Those are all B&B T Pavilion. And at Festival Pier, we'll have tickets for 311 and The Offspring. And at the Pavilion at Montage will be Slayer tickets.
Wow.
For the hardcore.
It's an evening with Slayer, Preston.
Oh,
it's all acoustic.
Mm-hmm. So Valley Forge Casino Resort Event Center, and go to WMMR.com for the details.
You know, Pierre calls it the BLT Center because BB&T it can be difficult to say at times.
It reminds me of that of Twiggy from Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
BB&T.
Yeah. So BLT, but you know, we don't owe anything to BB&T. We could call it the BLT, right?
I don't know, man. I haven't thought about
Well,
it.
It's the name of the venue, and I'm sure they, you know, people want to
yeah.
get it correct.
Yeah.
So, you know. You mean we should just start calling it the BLT?
I like BLT.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I fixed it.
Okay.
I fixed time.
Let's do the bizarre.
Now, WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I love that you can fix time.
That's I can fix perfect. It now. Right?
It's brought to you by the way.
By the way.
What, well, I mean, there's. Why is this sticker on? Why is this on here? It says Echo, right?
Echo.
Why?
Like this.
Yeah. There's a post-it note on my sponsorship.
It says Echo.
It says Echo, and I don't know why.
Well,
and
say it like it's an Echo.
It was Cummering. Okay, all right. Brought
Echo Charlie Hotel Oscar.
No. Brought two, bye, McGuff, bus, company.
Perfect.
No. Do you have your New Jersey CDL, and are you looking for a change? McGuff Bus Company offers guaranteed hours, health benefits, and they pay industry top dollar. Visit McGuffBus.com for more information. Now, this is irony right here. Charlotte Fox, a survivor of the deadly 1996 Mount Everest expedition,
yeah.
died last week. She fell down the stairs at her Colorado home. This is a woman who survived a horrible Mount Everest expedition. And she was found dead by her friends who were staying with the climber at her for a mountain film weekend. The county coroner is waiting for results of a toxicology report and hasn't yet released the cause of her manner of death, but foul play is not suspected. She endured several tragedies over the course of her life. Her longtime boyfriend died in an avalanche in 1993, and her husband, Reese Martin, died in a paragliding accident in 2004.
Jesus.
Fox made headlines after the tragedy on Mount Everest in 1996. She was one of the many climbers in large groups and small groups, even some solo mountaineers attempting to descend from the summit of Everest when they became caught in a blizzard. Eight climbers died, and Fox told John Krakauer, who wrote In the Thin Air, based on the incident, that she did not think that she was going to survive it. She said, I didn't see how we were going to get out alive. The cold was so painful. I didn't think I could endure it anymore. I just curled up in a ball and hoped that death would come quickly.
Did you ever see the movie Everest?
No.
It's actually really good. Now, they may take some license with the story, but to kind of get a visceral feel of what they were going through, it's pretty amazing.
She was the first woman to climb three mountains at altitudes of 8,000 meters or higher. After she reached Mount Everest summit, she continued climbing and even trekked up two more 8,000-meter mountains 2 years before her death.
You know what, Preston? I think I've got the bug to watch more documentaries about Everest.
Oh, there you go. You
on my couch in my house.
Wow. Okay, so driving on the highway too slowly, of course, can be more dangerous than driving too fast, especially if you are doing so in a bumper car.
I love it. How can you drive a bumper car? You need the electrical?
Not for this particular kind.
So all right.
The footage recorded on a highway in Guiyang, China, shows a woman driving a pink bumper car down a busy roadway as regular sized vehicles leave her in their dust.
It's great. It's great. She's going across the lanes.
Yeah. She was stopped by police and given a warning. Police say that they confiscated the bumper car from the driver who operates a bumper car business in the city. And I guess she was just trying to get from A to B on it, but she could have had an accident.
It's great.
Herein lies the problem with social media. People see it, okay? 80 high school sophomores from Georgia had their final exam scores thrown out after it was revealed that they had cheated. Gwinnett County Schools officials confirmed that someone shared the answers to the 10th grade language arts, world history, and chemical exams on social media. They actually put all the answers on social media.
Come on.
Dacula High School administrators say...
Dacula.
A preponderance of evidence helped them identify the cheaters, and all 80 of them are going to receive scores of zero. Wow.
That's wild.
They suspect that the person who had shared the answers to the countywide exams online is not a student at the school.
How could they conclusively determine that those 80 all saw? You'd have to have incontrovertible evidence,
yep.
Right?
Don't know, but
that's
somehow
kind of a judgment call.
Well, if they were dumb enough to post it on social media, they probably were dumb enough to make some other mistakes and get themselves caught.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah,
possibly. When you think of all the things that you spend $1 million on, a diamond encrusted vibrator might not be very high on the list. But Australian jewelry designer Colin Byrne, who handcrafted the Pearl Royale over a period of 15 years, wants to change that sentiment with the promise of a very expensive but worthwhile orgasmic tool.
He runs a company called I Hate Stephen Pajanger.
So this is Australian jewelry designer.
Look at this thing.
Colin Byrne, he said, my inspiration was to create something that shows the value people place on sex. The high-end sex toy is covered in 2,000 diamonds.
Wow.
A collection of royal blue sapphires and very rare pink diamonds, all of which have been flush set so you avoid cutting your genitals.
The technical term is ripping up your bunghole.
He said it's worth an incredible $1.8 million, making it the world's most expensive sex toy.
I can't imagine, though, prolonged use of that, because you have basically nooks and crannies and...
Well, they're all flush set in it.
Yeah, but it still, as you look at it, whatever.
So, weighing just under a kilogram, the scepter-like object's power is unlocked with a platinum key at the base. The central South Sea pearl at the top of the vibrator has a platinum key attached that activates the vibrator's multi-speed function.
Wow.
And when removed, transforms into an opulent and exquisite pearl and diamond necklace, worn as the key to luxurious pleasure, the website reads.
Like it? It's my dildo.
Mr. Byrne is currently touring the United States looking for a gallery owner willing to display the design as well as others that he has created.
This is what I imagine R2-D2's girlfriend would look like.
There's another one called Casanova. It's a similarly shaped dildo made of 18-karat gold. And he has made a gold egg-shaped vibrator that goes for about $33,000, a white gold dildo that goes for $50,000, and a gold-handled whip made of human hair that goes for about $25,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you like to see our dildos?
So far, a host of Russian jewelers and a few members of the hip-hop community are willing to take home the Pearl Royale.
Russian jewelers and the hip-hop community.
Yes, that is true. And unfortunately... We got to wrap it up there.
That was a good one.
Time, and that's what I have in the Bizarre File. Tony has some great stories today, man. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I have some more movie screening passes. You can actually see John Travolta in a Q&A. He and Kelly Preston are going to be at this screening we have of Gotti tomorrow night at the Prince Theater. You need to be there by 6:30. Would you like to go? Let's get four more people on board right now. 215-263-WMMR. These are pairs of tickets that we'll set you up with. So give us a call, and we'll put you on the list. It's tomorrow night, remember, at the Prince Theater. John Travolta and Kelly Preston there.
It's pretty wild.
After the screening for a Q&A. We'll be right back.
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
White Stripes, 93.3 WMMR, 7 Nation Army. You guys see the video footage of Jack White? He was at a, and I didn't catch which high school it was, but I believe it was in Detroit. And he showed up on, I think it was the last day of school for the kids, and he put on this impromptu concert out in front of the school. Yeah, he got in touch with the administration, and they were cool with it. And there's video of him, and I think he might be in playing Seven Nation Army. And at some point, he's up. They didn't have a stage. They were, like, playing on the steps or whatever. And he starts calling everybody up onto the stage with him. And just everybody, the whole student body, gets up on with him. And they're just rocking out with him. And he's in the middle with his guitar. And he eventually works his way out of there. It's really, really
cool.
Is
this the school he went to?
I don't know. Let's see. We have the story here. It says...
Do you want to save this for music news?
Surprises. Well, I don't have much.
Just repeat it again in 7 minutes.
Washington High School with a pop-up concert on their last day. So I don't know. I don't know if he went to Washington or not. That would be really, really awesome. Something like that to happen.
Woodrow Wilson High School. Is that what it said?
Washington.
In Washington.
Oh, is in Washington?
I think it's Woodrow Wilson High School in Washington.
Okay. In Washington State?
I don't know.
Okay.
D.C. I'm looking over here.
In Washington. Oh, there we go. All right. Thank you. Then I'm wrong. It's not in Detroit. Washington, D.C.
Well, it was so popular, Preston, they opened up one in Detroit.
Oh, well, that's
They opened up a Washington, D.C. in Detroit.
Very nice of them to do that. But that's really cool. I love stuff like that.
Yes!
I think that that should happen a little bit more often. All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away, a family four-pack of tickets to the Elmwood Park Zoo and the Treetop Adventures. And the question today, for no apparent reason, who is the spokesperson for the vagina as a self-cleaning oven? 215-263-WMMR. For no apparent reason, who's the spokesperson for the vagina as a self-cleaning oven? Were you listening earlier? Do you know? Then you should call us right now, 215-263-WMMR. And while you call, we are going to be doing the Hollywood Trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by Victory Brewing Company's Summer Love. Nothing but sunshine, blue skies, and summer love are in your forecast. Share your hashtag SummerViews at victorybeer.com/summerviews. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, despite constant reports to the contrary, 35-year-old Scott Disick and 19-year-old Sophia Richie are not over and are still dating and going strong. Sophia admits her friends can't see what the attraction is, but she explains, saying she just, quote, loves that old man piss mouth.
Oh, my God.
Frank Sullivan, the founding member of the band Survivor, is suing ex-bandmate David Bickler for using the band name and logo for her solo performances. Said Sullivan, quote, Dave is making a big mistake because you cannot fool our fan.
Hey!
SNL's Pete Davidson potentially jumping the gun by getting two Ariana Grande tattoos only a couple of weeks after the two started dating. Davidson says he puts a lot of thought into his ink, even despite his Lenny Dykstra for President tattoo. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we shall see if there's somebody out there who is paying attention this morning. For no apparent reason, who is the spokesperson for the vagina as a self-cleaning oven? And I will go to Clinton on the line. Hey, Clinton, how you doing?
I love you.
I love you.
Clinton, do me a favor and tell me who is the spokesperson for the vagina as a self-cleaning oven?
Sylvester Stallone.
That's correct. Yeah. Hang on a second.
He knows. He knows.
Clinton got it right, and we're going to give him a family four-pack of tickets to the Elmwood Park Zoo and Treetop Adventures, the only place where you can hand-feed a bison and then ride a zip line over it. More info at elmwoodparkzoo.org. Wow, this is Fog Hat.
Yeah.
Where'd you get this?
I was listening to it yesterday. I was trying to take a stroll down college memory lane, and we listened to the Days of Confused soundtracks over and over and over again.
Okay.
And this song in particular, my friend Sean, he would play the intro over and over.
It's
and
a great
over
intro.
Again.
Yes. It is a great intro, but if it's over and over and over, you want to kill him after a while, I would imagine. All right, cool. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you this morning by McGuff Bus Company. Do you have your New Jersey CDL and you're looking for a change? McGuff Bus Company offers guaranteed hours, health benefits, and they pay industry top dollar. So visit McGuffBus.com for more information. You guys hear that Jack White played a free concert?
Oh, my God. Wow. That's awesome. This was in Detroit, right?
This was in Detroit, Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, no, we actually...
New home of the Capitol.
Marissa grabbed audio for it.
Okay.
So thank
you. Are
you
saying
Marissa.
That or the actual performance?
No, the actual performance, which was in Washington, D.C. at Woodrow Wilson High School. So
right.
This is a little bit of that. Obviously, not very good audio. And everybody starts jumping up on onto the steps with him.
Look like a scene from Fame.
Yeah, yes, it did. And I think... Hang on a second. In a clip I saw, he stops playing and they just keep going, da, 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 da. I think that it happens right here. I guess they're not saying duh, but they're like, oh, duh. Duh, 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 duh,
you kids, I'd like to take a second or two to talk to you about your summer vaginas.
He's back.
You know, as you go out to the beaches, you got to realize the little microbes and stuff can crawl in your cooter. You got to take precautions. Thank you. Now back to the Rocky.
Sylvester Stallone for...
He's very passionate about it, which is what I admire about him.
Vagina maintenance.
Yeah. It's, and you would think maybe that's something from the boxing or whatever.
I don't know.
He's upstaging Jack White in an event, you know.
That's true.
Well, if you're Jack White, you'd step out of the way of a Sylvester
right.
Stallone.
Sure. Yeah.
With an important message.
Important message to share with the kids.
This is the more you know.
I mean, did Jack White end the Cold War? No.
The more you know. I don't know.
What do you know?
I don't know a lot, but I know I love you.
Yeah, okay. So the performance lasted 45 minutes, took place during the school's lunch period, and...
I would freak the hell out.
Yeah.
If I was going to a high school and they... And a rock star, and I happen to be a fan of Jack White's, showed up and just started performing a concert.
Yeah.
I was wondering if the high school kids would even know who he is.
That's a good question, but I guarantee you they know that song simply from sporting events alone.
It is a great riff.
Yep, I agree.
I had a guy that at my school came in with a Frisbee dog.
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly Jack White.
Did you guys like it?
It was cute.
I like Frisbee dogs a lot.
We had a... Now, this wasn't for graduation or anything like that, but we had a group called Freedom Jam.
Freedom Jam.
And,
hey, everybody. Freedom isn't free.
And they were like, they were inspirational and everything, and they were fun, and they did
you, skits. You there with the beautiful feet. Come up on stage and join us.
But they played.
We've got a message of rock.
But they played, you know, AC/DC and Ozzy Osbourne and stuff like that. And this was when I was in junior high at the time, middle school. To those of you,
were
now.
They very like sweater button down?
No, not at all.
Were they, they track, were having... track marks and leather jackets?
No, they weren't that either. Okay. They were somewhere in between those two.
Track marks and sweaters.
Oh my God! You actually found footage of Freedom Jam.
Now we're gonna rock.
Or Freedom Jam.
Yeah.
So they were fun, but they that was the closest to a Jack White that we ever got at my high school.
Well, that is pathetic. Are you guys ready to rock?
Clowns never laughed before, and beanstalks never grew.
Have you all ever seen beanstalks?
Cronies never ran before, till I met you.
Oh, dear.
He's our soloist, Casey. The girls just love him. He's our Davy Jones.
I have some other news.
All right.
So Slipknot and Stone Sour frontman Corey Taylor told Loudwire in a new interview that the lyrics that he's writing for the next Slipknot LP are perhaps his most personal yet. He said, "It's been a heavy couple of years for me personally, so I'm working out some things personally for myself, which has been great. And I've been able to grab hold of some of the depression that I've been fighting and formulate the way that I want to describe it. So some of those lyrics are, to me, some of the very best that I've ever written. It's probably the most I've shared in years, so it sounds like very personal stuff."
A lot of times the best stuff comes from a darker place.
Yeah, he said that other members of Slipknot have been, their reaction to the lyrics has been fantastic, saying, "I know that Clown was like just blown away by how open and raw."
Exactly.
Clowns never laughed before, and beanstalks never grew.
Case?
Oh,
I can't.
And before.
Can we harmonize, Casey?
Okay, we can try.
Hey, back it up a little bit.
Clowns never laughed before. Beanstalks never grew. Ponies never ran before. Till I met you.
Yep, perfect.
That was not bad.
That was
all
it.
Right. It was,
But is that a guy's name in the band, Clown?
Yeah, Sean Clown Crahan, I believe.
And he
is his
never
name.
Laughed before.
No.
He was depressed, and they wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Slipknot.
Uh-huh.
Not the British version, Windsor Knot.
The new Slipknot album is tentatively due out in 2019 and will follow up 2014's Five, The Gray Chapter. And I just have one other story for
you. Milk it.
Portugal, the man, is going to help Bruce Springsteen reopen the Asbury Park, New Jersey concert venue, Asbury Lanes.
No kidding.
On June 18th. Yeah.
Portugal, the man?
I love Portugal, the man.
They're, I'm not familiar.
What's your favorite song?
Oh, God, I don't know the names of the songs, but I could sing them for you if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Never left before. Beanstalks never grew.
Oh, yeah.
Honey's never ran before.
Now, they have a song called Tiger Eye.
What's the one about growing up and getting old?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Tiger eyes
watching you.
Tiger eyes.
I've not heard of Portugal the Man, and I'm a man who's a fan of Chingy and 2 Chainz.
I've heard of them, but I couldn't.
I said Tiger Eye. It's easy, Tiger. But anyway.
Rattle off any names for you. Okay, so Casey's going to play something from his private collection.
You would know this song.
Okay. Ready.
My home is a girl with eyes like wishing well.
No.
Ooh, let's live in the moment. Nope.
What are you saying? When it gets to the chorus, I might know?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard it.
It's a really, really good album.
My palate is not as broad as yours in the terms of current music, sir. So
They have a song about
do not know that song.
Like getting older, growing up, having to go to work. That's
like a Springsteen-ish song lyrically.
I guess a little
like
bit.
Growing up.
No, well, sort of. I don't know. Maybe
it's not the song
you're
called
old growing up. He's that growing up. It's Portugal's man. I met Spain, the woman. They're near. They're neighbors.
They have a song with a banjo in it that I like.
They do.
Yeah.
Is that this growing up song?
I don't know the names of songs either.
All right.
Bill's about to puke.
Leave me alone.
He's a...
Everybody, this one's from Portugal, the man.
This one's
Cedric
called
the
so
Entertainer.
Young.
Cedric the Entertainer. Turn it up.
You don't need to live to know what I'll be
going. This is pussy stuff. Try going up in Asbury Park.
Get your ass kicked.
Get your ass kicked. My father never hugged you.
Are they in the vein of, bring down a little bit, are they in the vein of 21 Pilots?
I mean, they're
pop,
an, they're
pop
an alt,
slash
alt pop, yeah.
Like 19 Pilots.
Super duper light, tiny drop of rock in there.
I like
somewhere.
This song. Yeah.
This song
like
is great.
This song.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah.
You know this song?
Yeah, this is the one that...
Katie Sunshine dances to.
No, that's Electric Guest.
No. This is the one that... bring it down just a little bit.
Shut up.
Dude from Breaking Bad does a commercial for it.
Oh,
on the track. Aaron Paul. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a good song.
This is a good song.
I like that one.
The rest still
is crap. No, I kid you.
Now, what's the banjo song Nick was talking about?
I don't know.
So anyway.
Anyway.
I told you we'd milk this story.
Yes. You're right. We did get some guessing out of this.
Yeah.
I had two stories.
Solid 10 minutes on that.
And once again, we've sucked another one dry.
They're hanging out with Bruce?
So proceeds from the event. Yeah. So they're trying to open up this.
I'm still part of this story?
Yeah. Proceeds from the event is going to benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of Monmouth County. And also featuring performances by Bruce himself and Tangiers Blues Band.
Weren't they big dinosaurs and the big elephants in the prehistoric days?
Although it's not.
Willie Monmouths?
It's not.
I wasn't too good in school.
I did not know where you were going with that one.
Although it's not clear if the boss will sit in with the other groups, fly solo, or show up in members of his E Street Band in tow.
Is he, what's the status of his Broadway show?
You know, Kevin Gunn just went to go see it.
Did he go see it?
Yeah, on Friday.
Incredibly expensive, right?
I don't know, but it's 2.5 hours long. It's storytelling. It's great music. Kevin raved about it. Now, Kevin's a huge fan.
Yes.
But he said that it's, you know, because it's only 2.5 hours long, it's like the beginning of a Bruce show.
Yeah, because
Bruce
goes so
concerts
long.
Are 3.5-4 hours long.
But he does talk. He does sort of weave in
storytelling and
and close-up magic.
Mm-hmm, a lot of magic.
Pick a card. Any card. Is this your card? Say it is.
Yes.
Told you.
Rolling Stone reported.
Look at these prices, Preston.
$700, $725, $780 These are all for single tickets, by the way.
Just a working man.
$900 Yeah. Just a working blue collar.
I like to keep it. Can I keep price down? Only $900 a ticket. Get come back from the job site. You got your thermos and half-eaten sandwich. Song's called "I Can't Afford the Show." Dead too expensive.
Yeah, it's a bit more.
As I pull up in my limo, I see you fight a cat for a piece of food. You'll never afford my show, and I'm not letting you in no way. The guards will shoot you before you clear the lobby door.
Mm. So, yeah, can't afford the show.
Even the booklet for the show's $1,000.
An online, so Rolling Stone.
The playbill's $1,500.
Rolling Stone reported. An online lottery via the Asbury Lanes website is available only to Asbury Park residents as part of the commitment to honor the local community.
Have you ever seen the actual, the club, or Stone Pony?
The Stone Pony, I never have, the lottery will accept entries till 8 a.m. Eastern time on June 7th. Asbury Park now will also host a giveaway for a pair of tickets as well as a night at the newly established boutique hotel, the Asbury.
Is he still heading down to the shore? Remember last?
It was last. Well, his last son year. Was apparently interning at the Wildwood Fire Department.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's why he was there.
That's
he
cool.
He ended up, you know, kind of walking the boardwalk.
Seriously, people just saw
I set a few fires for you.
Kind of wandering around the Wildwood area.
I had hoped that he was scouting locations for free concerts because Wildwood will do that from time to time.
Yeah.
I'm John Q. Public. I'd like to report a fire.
He's setting fire so his son will look like a hero.
Yeah, Pete's place on the boardwalk's on fire. My name is John Q. Public.
Yeah. NewJersey.com posted, if you live in Asbury Park, 100 local residents will be selected to win tickets in a lottery that can be entered here. And they have a link to it. Admission will be accepted until 8 a.m. Thursday. So there you go. Bruce and Portugal the Man. Kind of an odd pairing.
Yeah. Well, now I'm a little more hip, as they say on Portugal the Man.
And this, Steve, is that Katie Sunshine song, by the way. You remember, it sounds a lot like that Portugal Man song.
Yeah, you're right.
But Katie Sunshine's
is
the one.
Is she coming by here?
That's a weird, so Katie Sunshine is going to be, who is this very sexy hula hoop artist.
Yep.
Who's done stuff with the show before, and we love her. She's great. She's going to be at this deck builder's ball that Sequoia is throwing. It's a sort of a closed event for just people that are customers of his. But yes, we're trying to get her in on the show.
Is that this Thursday?
It's this Thursday.
This Thursday.
Yeah.
Day after tomorrow.
Wait, is she from here?
No!
She lives in the
Carolinas. She's from Washington, D.C. and Detroit.
No. I thought she was from, like, Tennessee.
Arkansas.
Arkansas. It's Arkansas?
It's where Bill Clinton's
from. D.C.
I picked her up at the airport. That's the only reason I know.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, she came out and did an appearance for us on the boardwalk one time.
Down the boardwalk. Had the boardwalk. Swinging a hula hoop. This is a John Q. Public. Here's a hula hoop chick on fire.
What is going on?
It was at the boardwalk in Atlantic City, right?
Also a Bruce song.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
I watched the hula hoop chick on Atlantic City.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do.
Two stories.
We're going to wrap that up. And there you go. That is what I have in music news for you this morning.
It was just an experiment to see how long we could pad three stories.
Two really bad stories. All right. So as we take a break, I'm going to give away my last 4-pack of tickets for the Big Apple Circus Thursday, June 14th at the Philadelphia Mills Mall, formerly the Franklin Mills Mall. Let's take caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss the Big Apple Circus now through June 24th, and we will put you on that list. So give us a call. Be back in a second to wrap things up. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
Sorry, I jumped over the end there where he yells a pledge pin. at the end of that song. 93.3 WMMR, Twisted Sister. Steve and I were just off air talking about the documentary about that band. It is so worth seeing. If you like them or not, it does not matter. It's called We're Effing Twisted Sister. And you will not believe how hard those guys worked before they finally broke out and had a huge anthemic hit.
Yeah.
And they just, they and the you know what's funny about the documentary is it goes all the way up until they were officially signed to a record company, and then it's over.
Because you know that part.
There's nothing else about them writing hit records and having the success. It goes up until that point, and then it stops, and that's it. And it's wild. They went through a lot.
They really did. I mean, just the like melees and bars, and you know they used to do the androgynous thing tenfold.
Oh my God,
it was just hilarious.
And they're like they walked up to success. I mean, right onto the edge of it, like time after time after time, and something really Spinal Tap esque would happen, and it would just get flushed down the toilet.
And as D. Snyder's talking about it with like a slight smile on his face, it's like, can you believe this?
Yeah,
but it all happened. It's all true,
and it all ended up working out for the best for him. So anyhow, it's worth a look. It's on Netflix, or at least it was.
Yeah, I'm sure on Apple TV. It's most services probably have it.
Before we go to the letter of the day and all that good stuff, it is a Tuesday, and that means we have had a listener receiving a free tattoo from the Preston and Steve Show, with, of course, our show represented in that tattoo. Everybody, this is Tori.
Yay! Welcome
to the show. Hello there, Tori. Where are you from, please?
Port Deposit, Maryland.
Where is that?
It's
like, how deep into Maryland? Like, how would you get here from here? 95 South?
I don't know. My mom drove.
It's down by like...
It's like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, before you cross the bridge on the Susquehanna, you know, if you're heading south towards Baltimore and D.C., that's where Port Deposit is. There's a casino there.
Before
Havre
de Grace or whatever?
Before Havre de Grace.
Everybody knows Havre de Grace, but they don't know.
This is a big sign, and that's right before you go over the bridge, and you know, so it's pretty easy to...
You're the one who's from there, Tori.
So. Yeah, right. How old are you?
21.
21, and mom had to drive you this morning?
I wasn't driving this early. I was out all night. Come on.
We're past you're 21.
Yeah. So, met Tori at the barbecue, and you were having a blast, right?
Yeah.
Love is great.
I was finally 21 this year, so.
Yeah, very cool.
Not only are we represented in this tattoo, but look at the bottom. It says Bam Bam.
Yeah.
You're a Jackie Bam Bam fan.
Yes, I also have 16 ferrets.
You have 16 ferrets.
And two of them, one's Preston and one's Bam Bam.
Oh! No Steve?
Steve.
I don't have a Steve yet.
Okay. It's okay. They're filthy animals. No. Okay.
So that's what this tattoo is. It's a ferret. Mm-hmm. Or is that, because one has a, is it shaded like that, Troy?
It's a ferret.
Or is it, what's the story on that?
A ferret.
Yeah, she wanted it, you know, to be one side dark, one side light, to kind of
like a yin yang,
ebony and ivory.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. 16 of them.
There's so many different colors, so I kind of wanted to show more than just one color.
Have you ever been bitten by one?
Yes,
like many times.
No.
Okay.
They teeth when they're babies.
Yeah,
like any other animal.
They are cute though, and you can fit 16 of them in a cup. So, yeah.
In a cup.
Yeah.
I don't know. They get really long, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
They do, yeah.
So, well, that's pretty cool.
Bam Bam's my biggest one, so.
Okay, nice. Well, this is a really unique-looking tattoo. I like that, man.
It's awesome.
It's my new favorite.
And there Troy is very detail-oriented. That's some handiwork there. Troy, ever done a ferret before?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Well, though, yeah, it's like you've been drawing them for years, and we're amazed at the level of skill, because that looks fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a student or anything like that, Tori? Do you work? What's your story there?
Yeah, I go to Cecil College for criminal justice.
Ah.
Nice.
Fish and game warden.
There you go.
That's nice. What you want to do? Yeah. You want to be a fish and game warden?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You'll be able to herd wild packs of ferrets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a hunter?
Well, my last name's Hunter, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So technically, yes.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. Anybody want to say hello to while you're here?
My dad. He watches every day, so.
Nice. He watches
the
Danny Rush videos.
He's the reason why I come and listen to MMR and go to the MMRBQ Fest every year. It's our family vacation.
Oh, that's great.
It's the only time he gets off. He's a milk truck driver, so.
Did you love this year? Did you love the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Ghost is really awesome.
Were you lawn or were you under the pavilion?
In the pavilion.
Nice. Yes.
I'm not gonna sit in the grass.
It got a little bit wet. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I was curious
about. It actually wasn't bad this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been worse.
One year I was like right on the edge of the pavilion. I got soaked.
Yep.
It happened.
Everyone just expects it to rain now and it's all good.
Yeah. We got diehards out there. Well, cool. It's an awesome looking tattoo. It says Preston and Steve and Bam Bam on it. And of course, Troy did an amazing job. And you can get his handiwork at Philadelphia Eddie's. They're on 4th Street in Philly, and they're absolutely legendary. So, and Troy, by the way, anybody freaked out by his hair?
It's awesome.
He came in. I didn't know it was you because I just saw your profile. I saw the beard, and I saw a bald head long just in the very back there. But I had no idea your skull was tattooed like that.
Half my head's been done for a while, and then I just got another session done on Sunday.
And that's why you shaved it, so you can get the other session done? Like geometric shapes all around there. Any particular reason for that, or you just like it?
Well, it's dot work. It also kind of mimics a hair follicle, so if on the off chance my hair starts thinning, it'll, you know.
It's like the hair club for men. Yeah.
So, I like it.
Preston, this dot work, a friend of mine had it done, and what that dot work does is it evolves, right? So over time, that ink will seep more and more into the skin, and it will expand, correct? Okay.
Yeah, how much will it expand? They soften.
So that's almost...
Not a lot.
For a tattoo artist, that's almost like impressionist work. It's like little bitty...
Like Rich Little.
Well, they're like little bitty dots.
Yeah, like
they aren't lines. If you look really close, Steve, they're little tiny dots all
oh, okay.
And they kind of shade. It's really cool looking.
Thanks.
There you go. That may be an option for men who are thinning.
Yeah.
Put ferrets on their head.
Yeah, you can do that too. Nice. All right, cool. Troy, good to see you.
Thank you.
And Tori, very nice to meet you. Thank you for your tattoo. All right. Tattoos Day once again on the Preston and Steve Show. And we'll have to make way because we do have a gentleman who's going to step over to the microphone.
Yes.
Before we get him over here, though, I do want to thank Mr. Tom Papa.
Yay!
Being on our program today.
God, he's the best.
He's got a new book out. It is called Your Dad Stole My Rake and Other Family Dilemmas. And he apparently throws his in-laws under the bus in this particular book because he doesn't like them very much, which was interesting when we chatted with him. But it is available today. And Tom is a wonderful comedian and a great writer, very creative guy. And we love having him on. He's a friend of the show. Also, thank you to the Big Apple Circus, which came by. They are at the Philadelphia Mills Mall. And they are there through the 24th. And you can experience amazing thrills, tons of laughter under the big top. And you can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Who were the clowns who stopped by?
It was Mr. Joel and Skip.
Okay.
And they were really nice guys. It's just...
It's weird.
They came by and it's odd having clowns on the radio. Because a clown is all about the physical presentation of them. So,
and you have to be then very verbally funny.
Right.
And then you're just a funny guy who happens to be wearing pancake makeup.
Right.
That's weird.
But they were nice guys, and for the actual show...
they do what clowns do.
They're perfect for
it.
So, yeah, it's nice. What was that?
It was
Harry Potter? Oh, okay.
There you go. There you
go. So thank you, by the way. Yeah, Big Apple Circus now through June 24th. Kill the music. At the Philadelphia Mills Mall. They are doing death-defying stunts.
They are. In fact, they are doing the act that killed a few Walenda family members years ago. They routinely and successfully do it, but it's an amazing thing to see.
Yep.
They're acrobatic clowns?
No. The clowns are just the regular clown performers at the circus, but the Walenda family is represented at this. You know, it's they're doing incredible high-wire stuff, which... has not been done this way for a long time.
You ran away with the circus for a few years, didn't you, Peter?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And young Ryan Shuttleworth is a circus. Well, he was Carnival, actually.
He really?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Well, he came from a very wealthy family, the Bryn Mawr Shuttleworths, and everything went south when the old man was drinking heavily, and he ran away first with a circus. And then turned a carny, and then he spent many years on the road as a carnival act.
He was a guess your weight guy.
Well, yeah. And he did.
Out of curiosity.
If you do carnival work, you got to go. It's like radio. You got to do every
carny.
Job.
Being a carny is in your blood.
It's not
as you know.
It's just not easy.
Before radio, you would do the you do that stuff.
Well, I cleaned the elephant pens, and that was a lot of work.
Anytime you mention carnies, I just have this vivid memory when I was 12 years old going to the carnival, and the guy that worked the dart with the balloons
saw his
had one arm, and then he had his leg up on the counter, and his nutsack was hanging out of his shorts.
Man, now that's
go ahead, guess the weight of my nutsack.
How do you not know that your nutsack's hanging out of your shorts?
Well, his details were in another priority.
Right.
I did win an Iron Maiden poster that day.
Mm, nice. Oh. All right, well, that was a wonderful trip down memory lane.
Man.
You want to do the letter of the day?
Yo-ho.
All right, yo-ho.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
A is in Alabama.
All righty then. And we have an Omaha Steaks gift pack, including two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, eight Omaha Steak burgers, four chicken fried steaks, and much more. This is great for a Father's Day gift. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code WMMR in the search bar to buy your own holiday package. It's a very good deal, and we'll give that away on Friday. I'm sure you got some good stuff planned for this beautiful day.
I do, and it's going to be a fun program. We'll have more tickets for Phil Lesh and the Terrapin Family Band of the Grateful Dead coming to Festival Pier September 9th. We will have a really fun workforce blocks, which include the Dropkick Murphys, Can't Go Wrong With Them, David Bowie, U2. And then we're going to have a great archive selection from 1978, around 1:30, and it's Lonesome George Thurgood at the Bijou Cafe, a legendary piece from the vaults of the MM Archives, where someone in the background, about three-quarters of the way through, during
Rock and Roll! Yes. I love that.
I love it, too, and George has commented on it, and many have claimed to be that voice. Ooh. Some said it was Bubba John, our late DJ on the air, and I don't believe that that's true, but, you know, everyone says it was them. That was me.
That's funny.
That was me. No, dude, that was me. Sure, whoever it was, you'll hear yourself this afternoon, and we'll have encore performances with Jackson at 5:30 on your way home and at 9:30 with Jackie. And on top of all of that, it's Double Shot Tuesday. So double shots, and many of them you call it.
I have a question. Speaking of I Was That Guy,
yeah.
You know, did you ever track down who the guy was that did the You Know My Name, Chris Cornell?
No.
Never did find out who that was. Because it was such a lengthy phone call.
Right.
You would think that guy would still be around and still be listening. You've played it many, many times over the year. It never fails to crack me up.
His name was Chris also, I believe. Now I'm going to have to play it today.
You know, play it. Please do. Make that part, make that an ongoing search.
Well, in fact, we'll come back with a double shot of Chris Cornell. We'll start the coffee break in a moment with Chris Cornell, and we'll do that in between.
I know your name, Pierre Robert. I listened to you all my life.
No, that's the name of the song. I don't know the name of the song. I mean, it's called You Know My Name. Yeah, I know, Pierre. Yeah,
it's the best Who's On First natural occurrence ever heard.
We gave Chris, we played it for Chris the last time, final time he was here in the studio, and he's just cracking up. He said, I got to have that, and we put it on CD for him. And the next time I interviewed him, which was a couple of months later, for some project, I can't remember what it was, on the phone, he said, by the way, at the end of the interview, I played that for my wife, and she thinks you guys set that whole thing up. And his wife, a very lovely lady named Vicky, and I go, no, Vicky's too sharp. She would know. She goes, she is convinced you guys set that up. And I go, Chris, I would never lie to you. It's absolutely the way it came over the phone. He goes, I believe you. I just got to still convince her.
That was pretty cool. Cool. All right. So that's coming up. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show brought today by Acme, the official supermarket of the President Steve Show, and by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. President Steve Show runs on Dunkin' and Wilmington University. Experience Wilmington University difference at wilmu.edu. Tomorrow on our program, comedian / TV host Bassem Youssef will be in the studio. Going live on Fox Good Day. And our old intern, The Pituation, is stopping in tomorrow. Yeah, he's got an event coming up that he's going to hit. And we listen, he's always a member of the family. Bill loves him. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
Hey, Aaron. I'm so happy that you're doing a lot better today, and I am tired as from last night taking you to the emergency room. Seriously, milk allergies. I love you, bud.
Next message.
Preston and Steve.
Kathy, Nick, Casey, and Marissa. You guys make my day and my hour and a half commute from Delaware to Pennsylvania every day. I don't know how I'd do it without you guys. Thanks.
Next message.
Get up early. I'm so going to be late. And he's driving.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.